The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here?
It ships from somewhere else, isn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? You know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh man, they are planning one hell of a party.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I'm Fred Kirsch. We're going to be with you until 2 o'clock today. It's Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, of course, and like yesterday, the place is buzzing. Not just the local media, it's the national people here. Lots of podium press conferences, all of which you can see on Patriots.com. Most of them have already happened, but you can see them on demand. Bill Belichick today, open locker room. The guys will be here any moment to tell us about that. The CBS network trucks are here. They're getting the field prep, putting down the AFC Championship logo on the field. It's exciting. And the Ravens are coming to town, and I got to tell you, I'm still 60% Patriots win. Although somebody made a good point to me. I was talking today, somebody who thinks that the Patriots have over an 80% win chance of winning, and they said that one of the things is if, you know, we talk about the Patriots not getting off to a fast start, but if the Ravens don't get off to a fast start, they are a team that will start pointing fingers at each other. And we've already seen it. You know, Ed Reed kind of pointing the finger at his quarterback, Joe Flacco, and Joe Flacco already having to say it's no big deal and that he's talked to Ed about it and all that stuff. Well, that's before the, but I had to agree when this person said that if indeed the Patriots do get off to a fast start and the Ravens have a little bit of trouble early, they are a team that, you know, could start, you know, getting down on themselves and start pointing fingers. So that is something to look for in this game if the Patriots get off to a fast start. Paul's here.
Hey, Freddie.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
I'm good.
What the? You just came from the locker room?
Yeah, very quiet locker room. Some activity late in the locker room period, however. So
as far as players go.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got a chance to talk to Mark Anderson and Sean Ellis a little bit.
Okay.
Very late in the period. But overall, pretty quiet. Evidently, yesterday was a booming day in there.
Well, there were a lot of people.
I think there were three or four podium trips yesterday, in addition to eight or nine large groups around players in the locker room. Today, it was just podium. Tom Brady went back to the podium for a second straight day today.
Did he? And, why was that?
Well, I assume that the league made him, but I don't know that for sure.
Brady was at the podium yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, according to you guys, I wasn't here.
Oh, I wasn't at the podium. So
yeah.
I didn't think he was, but maybe he was.
Oh, yeah.
I thought
Patriots.com.
Oh, yeah, that's the one
fact,
where
you
knocked down the thing.
Right.
Yeah, and I actually thought that Bill made a crack to him today when he walked by. He goes, two days in a row.
He did.
Because Brady was coming in as Bill was leaving from his press conference today.
That's weird. I don't think that's ever happened before.
Yeah, also today, Logan Mankins, Brian Waters. Is there anybody else?
Yeah.
Oh, Patrick Chung, I believe. Those are the four players.
Wilfork? Or was that yesterday?
That was yesterday.
Wilfork's doing a national thing today.
Oh, yeah,
national conference call.
Today.
Yeah, right.
Podium was Waters, Mankins, Chung, Brady.
I mean, is it really necessary to do a national conference call? I mean,
I don't get it.
Not for the conference championship games.
Yeah. you know?
I mean, I could understand if you were going to say, you know, maybe the week leading up to the Super Bowl, you know, before you leave.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That first week, maybe you want to make someone available so the national media. I think a lot
but
of the things.
Aren't the national media here that care that much? I mean, should they be here?
Yeah.
I think that the
Alex Marvez, Jason Cole, they're all here.
A lot of the things that are done.
Ed Wiener? Is it? Werther?
Werder.
Ed Werther?
Werder.
Werder.
Yes. Ed?
There's no N in
Werder.
It. You just wanted to call him
Wiener. Wiener.
Okay. He's here.
he
bit
is
of a
here.
Hot dog.
Is he?
Oh.
Well, you just like his buns.
Wow. Every step, that got worse.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398.
Freddie, do you know who you're picking?
Sure.
I don't.
Really?
Toughest game of the year. I did a couple radio hits, and they asked, and I went with a prediction, but I don't feel great about it. I don't have my the grasp of this game. I might not know till what time are we doing those, 1:45? I might not know till then.
I think it's hard because of the competition this year in the NFL.
Right.
You don't know how to gauge teams. You know?
That aspect
That's
of
a good
it
point.
Has me picking the Ravens. I think their mettle has been tested more as a team. And certainly, as we talked about yesterday, the weakness versus weakness, that has me leaning. But
their mettle has been tested, but they haven't met an offense like the Patriots.
That's true. And that the other part, Tom, I don't really care about the offense. It's more Tom Brady. I have trouble my whole thing picking Brady to beat Flacco. That has me leaning towards the Patriots.
Right.
And then I start leaning both ways.
Right.
That's ultimately what I went with. I was telling Andy, I was joking about it because I had the prediction part of the 3 points that I do online for Patriots Today that gets posted on Friday. And I got to that part, and I honestly, I had no idea what I was going to say before.
And he said
I,
he babbled more than usual.
Yeah, I did. But I think ultimately I picked the Patriots. I mean, it's no secret.
You
Everybody
think
knows.
Ultimately you picked the Patriots?
No, I think ultimately I picked the Patriots for what Andy said, the differences between Brady and Flacco.
Yeah.
But that's hard because Brady doesn't play Flacco.
Right.
Brady plays Ray Lewis and Ed Reed,
but it's
and
his
Flacco
ability,
plays Antoine Molden.
But I think his ability to put up more points than Flacco is the difference to me.
Maybe.
Well,
I'm not
obviously,
sold on that.
If I was right every time, I wouldn't waste my time with you chumps.
Right.
I would just go to Vegas.
I'm not sold on his ability to put up more points versus the Ravens as opposed to Flacco's ability to put up more points versus
the
this
Patriots.
Team.
And you don't know
and
where.
And we've been lulled to sleep.
And Freddie's absolutely right.
Last week.
Fred's absolutely right in saying that the Ravens haven't seen an offense like the Patriots. They haven't seen a lot of high-powered offenses this year. But it's also true that the Ravens' offense hasn't seen a defense as bad as the Patriots
right.
all year.
Right.
And the Patriots' defense hasn't seen a legitimate quarterback like Flacco. Whatever you think of him, he's an NFL quarterback, more so than Dan Orlovsky and
sure.
some of these chumps that they've played. They haven't seen a real quarterback for a while, right?
It's true.
So
yeah, I'm going to argue that they like, still won't have seen one
goes
you know,
like
this
in
week.
So many directions, depending on what issue you fixate on.
That's why I'm 60-40. Otherwise, I'd, you
yeah,
know,
usually
I'd be 90%.
Fred's much more in the 90-10 category.
Right.
I was with you at 60-40, but after the Brady missing practice, I'm down to 57. I've dropped another point.
Okay.
I'm like the
I don't know. Hopefully
tab.
He'll be
fan
able to be
tab,
out
yeah.
there. Hopefully he'll be able to be out there today, Bill said, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Nobody's worried about it. I don't think it's good. I don't think it makes a big difference either.
How much does the fact that the Patriots are playing at home help you in your decision?
It's huge.
That's big.
Yeah, to me, that's a 10% swing.
Oh, so you'd be 50-50?
I'd be 50-50 if
on
it was in
road.
Baltimore. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's a big swing for me.
Yeah, that's another aspect. Home, road, cold. The weather now looks like it could be possibly an issue.
Precipitation.
And also colder. At first, I saw like mid to high 30s
right.
for kickoff. Now I'm seeing...
Now it's getting colder?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
I actually don't have a lot. I actually just eavesdrop on the parking guys because they talk about this stuff all the time for
right.
snow. And I heard them say the predicted temperature for kickoff is dropping. It's getting closer to freezing, which is obviously an ice issue.
Right.
And so if that's true...
I got 33 right here on my...
Well, that's come down.
Oh, yeah. It was
that's
like 37, 38.
What was, time of the day does it
just
say?
Just says high... Well, what's the? I assume the white is high and the low, 31, 33.
But you can go by time on... You have you.
Yeah.
I'll
weather
on.
Bug is the best one. I like
yeah,
weather
I didn't,
bug.
This is just the
I
weather,
don't have
whatever
weather.
The weather
the one that
comes
with the iPhone is terrible.
I have Weather okay. Channel, and it'll give you
well,
an
you down, no, you download the Weather Bug.
Oh, I don't have a Weather Bug.
Just download
no
it.
No one cares.
How?
No one cares that
you don't
much.
Know how to download an app to your iPhone?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Come on.
Weather Bug, it's called?
Weather Bug.
Okay, I talk amongst yourselves.
You know, we really haven't talked about the Tuesday burst from Andy. But I think that
whoa, from Andy.
I think that was
followed up by
followed up by the Thursday burst.
I think that was a breakthrough for Andy. I think it showed this, you have a lot of inner rage that needs to come out.
Oh, that's possible. You know? That's certainly possible.
And I think that was a big breakthrough. And
I should do boxing or something.
Yeah. A lot of inner rage. And I don't know where it comes from. I'm sure there's a lot of things that happened in your past. But
my pent-up homosexuality.
Probably. So.
What was it called?
Huh? Latent?
No. The thing I'm looking for.
A weather bug. Weather bug. Weather Channel's a good one. But Weather Bug... Yeah.
Weather Channel says 33 for the high, 30 for the low.
The good thing about the Weather Channel app is it gives you a future map, radar map. So it tells you what the radar is now, but then it'll go in the future for like 10 hours. That's kind of cool. But everything else about the Weather Bug I like better than Weather Channel.
Okay. And if you ever wanted us to break down weather apps on the iPhone, we just did it.
It's important. It's very important.
Yeah, I don't think it's that important.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket phone line.
Paul uncovered some information I'd like him to bring to the table right now. Go ahead, Paul. Chargers, Ravens.
Oh, just a lot of people have sort of pointed to that Chargers game. Someone told me yesterday Ladarius Webb did not play in that game, one of their starting cornerbacks. And obviously they had a ridiculously tough time with Floyd and Jackson in that game and the deep receivers. So, I mean, I think that's...
Might have had
something to do with it.
Andy, what was your experience in the locker today? Locker room.
I was not in a locker. Yes, I was in the locker room. I'm working on my story for this week's Patriots Football Weekly, talking a lot of veteran players, guys who have been elsewhere. I don't know if our fans have noticed, if they listened to Bill Belichick post-game, but on two separate occasions this year, after the Philly win... which was maybe his most open press conference of the year.
I think he was very happy about that win.
And after this week's win, both times he referenced, this is a tough place to play, these players put up with me, they deserve this, you know, I'm tough to play for. So I've been talking to guys a little bit about that aspect of playing here. And it's legit. You know, players have talked about it. Some guys told me, if you're not humble, they'll break you and you become humble. It's not for everyone. Some guys I've had admit, you know, if they had been here when they were younger, it wouldn't have worked. They needed to be experienced veterans, and now they love it. But it wouldn't have worked in, you know, certain points of their life, their mentality. Maybe that's why we've seen, you know, some of the young guys wash out here.
Right.
That it isn't for everyone. Right. So I've been talking to a lot of different players about that. You talked to Sean Ellis on his way to you. He made me laugh out loud. Today was a day where there was not a ton of people in the locker room, so whenever anyone shows, there's a mad rush, and sometimes you got to swim upstream if you're going the other. And he was swimming upstream, and into no one in particular that I could see. These people, show some darn respect. I mean, you bump into somebody, at least say, and he's just ranting to the air. There's no one within 10 feet of him, but clearly somebody must have bumped him.
It was very nice when I got to him, because I did the same thing. I was swimming upstream to get to Mark Anderson, and then all of a sudden, I was there with just Chris Gasper, and Chris was asking him some questions about Bernard Pollard. And before I could get to my questions, I got swarmed. So now I was like, all right, well, this is a waste. I'm not going to be able to get what I need from him. And I looked over and I saw Sean Ellis, so I just did. Their lockers are right on the corners.
Right.
So I just kind of made the quick switch, and I asked him some questions about you too, Andy. His answers were...
Does he like me?
No, his question about your story. unlike you with Brian Waters, I took care of you.
What's Sean Ellis's mindset these days?
He's always got a dip in his mouth. Doesn't he always have a dip in his mouth?
He had one.
That's dip.
Yes. I would say his mindset is that of a veteran that knows the end is near, if not here, and very much looking at this as a great opportunity.
This is it.
Now, was he concerned for his safety after killing Tim Tebow last week? Because that hit he laid on him was one of those, the entire 68,000 went, oh.
Yeah.
And if you kill Tim Tebow, I bet you might get death threats.
That might have been the one that hurt him.
They said no.
Oh, yeah?
From what I've, my understanding is no, it was a different hit. Because that's the one I thought at first, because he cleaned his clock on that.
I get ready for every game with Paul Perello and Andy Hart on the Patriots pregame social, live on the Patriots Facebook page.
Yeah, he said that. He said that with a dip in his mouth, no doubt.
How many of those did you get, Kevin?
Like one when he tried early.
I got like four or five.
Good.
He tried early.
Yeah, Mayo has one, right?
Sunday, high of 35 and a low of 30. So right in that window, apparently. Cloudy with a chance of sleet, rain,
and freezing. Good thing we downloaded that to get a different look.
Yeah, no kidding. Is there anything more
it's
that
weird,
I could
though,
get out of that?
Oh, wait. Channel 7, the local station here in Boston, it says that it's going to be 38 to 40. So it's still strange. It's a wide, it seems like a wide range
of temperatures. Well, they might be behind because it's coming down. Maybe they haven't updated the downswing yet.
Maybe.
Well, it's interesting.
But it sounds like it could maybe.
Could be snow.
Something. And there's between now and then, there's a couple storms. There's like a tonight, tomorrow one. Then there's like a Friday, Saturday one. So I've heard one that said 6 inches.
Jeez.
But I don't know if that's north and west. And how
too bad it's not a West Coast team coming in.
Right. It was Kurt Warner and
the like,
soft Cardinals.
It really doesn't matter that it's Baltimore.
Right.
You know, they don't care.
Same old, same old.
Yeah. They might even think that bad weather helps them. I don't know.
Oh, look at that. This is a shot you don't see every day.
No one
knows. None of our listeners can see it.
I'm going to explain it. Belichick and Parcells hugging on the sideline after the NFC Championship game in 1990. As Matt Barr's field goal was good, Belichick is the first guy to jump in Parcells' arms.
Let's go to the phones. Dwight is in Alabama. Hey, Dwight.
Hello.
Roll Tide.
Andy, he doesn't like Alabama.
Have y'all heard on NFL.com the sound effects from the game this past weekend with the Patriots and the?
No, tell us about it.
They mic'd up Tebow and Champ Bailey. When Hernandez ran at 43 out the backfield, Champ Bailey called it before the play because he said, "Watch for 81 out the backfield." And then Hernandez ran that 43-yard rush. To the 6-7.
Now, sometimes NFL films plays tricks on you.
Yeah.
After it happens once, Champ Bailey says it the second time, and then they link it up with the first one.
Yeah.
They cheat sometimes.
You are very, very accurate.
Yeah.
I don't know that happened on that particular
right.
play.
I'm not saying it, but you got to watch out for that.
And at the end of the game, Champ Bailey went to Ocho Cinco. And he said, "You better get that ring." And Ocho said, "You better believe I will."
Yeah.
And he said to Brian, he said the same thing to Brian Waters. And Brian Waters said that he was trying. He was going to try. He will work hard and towards getting to that goal.
Yeah.
That's the old school way. Remember, we always talk about who they brought in, Junior Seau or these guys they brought in to get the ring.
That's kind of what I wanted to write about with these guys.
Hungry guys.
I think Ocho will get one if they win.
If y'all haven't already done it, can y'all analyze both offenses and defenses to see who might cover who or who's doing what?
All right.
Well,
thank you, Dwight.
I think there's a chance that, well, it's interesting because we've talked about how McCourty was only in sub packages, and the Ravens aren't really a spread it out kind of offense that would lend you to 50% him in sub packages. But I still think they're a team that goes down the field, and you might want him back there as a safety. So I think there's a chance, even though it'll look a little different, that you see McCourty at safety again. Because they don't match up. We spend way too much time saying about matchups.
And I think they'll be too deep, too. I think that they'll worry about the deep ball because – and I saw some interesting stuff that Greg Cosell has been writing about. You know, it's just a very sort of antiquated offense that – Baltimore runs. It's that they only had Lee Evans as the third receiver on the field for 8 plays on Sunday, which is a remarkably low number for a third receiver. They send their receivers go downfield. There's no bunch formations. There's no not a lot of motioning. They just run kind of basic sets and they run vertical routes. So I think you kind of have the advantage of knowing what they're going to do, knowing basically what you're going to expect to see.
I should stop it.
You just have to stop it, I think Andy's right with McCourty. You put him back and let him help out in the deep ball. He struggled on deep balls all year.
Right.
You know, let someone else do it and hope that he can play a better center field.
They're not going to run the intermediate routes, or they don't often. And if you're not comfortable with him turning and running with Torrey Smith down the field, okay, well, let him be down the field already to play the football. So, yeah, I think that'll be an interesting one. And I think the other side is the safety's interesting, too. We've talked about it, Ed Reed. Is he banged up or is he not banged up? Is he limited or is he not limited?
I didn't like the fact that the Patriots listed about 20 guys on their injury report and the Ravens had one. I think that was a statement to the Patriots that unless you know about it, we're not even going to tell you who's hurt.
Read into those. Now, does it?
See, I think half the guys in the Patriots will be gone either today or tomorrow, just like last week. Last week they started with 19. They ended up with like 10.
But they won't end up with one.
No.
Yeah, I can't believe Ed Reed's the only guy on that team that's banged up.
Oh, I agree.
And I think it's we're not going to make any excuses. We're
right,
not hurt.
Exactly.
We're playing.
Right.
So we should kind of talk about that. Solder on that report yesterday is a concussion.
Yes.
Something to keep in mind, you know.
Yeah. And I think the Hernandez concussion is interesting because I didn't think he was concussed.
Yeah, but we knew about that one.
No,
I didn't
know
about
but
Solder.
I just find it interesting that, to me, it's weird. If you have a concussion, that's an injury. You're hurt. It's a brain hurt.
Right.
I think there are times that people are dinged and don't have a concussion. And I know the NFL doesn't want that word used,
right,
being dinged. But I think there's a difference between dinged and concussion.
Sure.
Right? You just kind of had your bell rung a little bit.
Right.
But you're
sure,
not really concussed. You don't have headaches. You know, vision issues, no pain, no. You're not seeing any symptoms of concussion other than you got your clock clamped.
Right.
Look at how young Tom Coughlin looks in that shot.
And that concerns me a little bit, that he's listed with a concussion.
I'm
he
with
looks
Andy.
Fine. I mean, you saw him in the locker room today.
The thing that concerns me is, what does one tackle do?
Right.
But, you know, one hit. I don't mean one tackle. Well, off. I mean one tackle. You know,
I didn't know if
Hernandez,
you're talking
Solder
there.
No, I mean one hit. When you're one block for Solder, one, you know, one carry of the football with Hernandez, if he takes like a helmet-to-helmet shot, is he out? That's what worries me.
Right. And Solder.
Absolutely, but both of them.
I'm still
one
not
block,
sure that
Vollmer's
back, even though he was practicing last week. And my feelings on Cannon being on the edge for a full game are well known. I'm concerned about that. Something to watch.
Matt in North Carolina says, love the show. I'm of several minds looking ahead to the AFC Championship. On one hand, I think the Patriots passing attack with the dynamic duo can be a tough matchup for anybody. Isn't it crazy that Welker seems to be flying below the radar going into this game?
He's short.
He was my JetBlue High Flyer of the Week.
No, I changed it for you.
Why?
I didn't really. They were trying to talk me into changing it.
But on the other hand, the Ravens are a different class of competition than we faced all year. Can our finesse offense take some body blows and still maintain precision? Suggs is going to get to Uggs. How many times? How hard? And will it be enough to keep Brady out of his zone? That's the question. This week, more than ever, the Patriots rise and fall on Brady. On the flip side of the ball, the Ravens are going to put up points, maybe even the high 20s. Bolden is good enough that Flacco doesn't have to be that good. Bolden is too strong and big for our guy. Sorry. Plus, Rice is going to get his touches and will break a couple. He is that good. But more importantly, our defense is not that good. Enough said. The Ravens are a tough team. They have proven it this season. The Patriots, on the other hand, have not. They are not as battle-tested. The Ravens are balanced and well-rounded on both sides of the ball. The Patriots are not. On offense, we can't run. On defense, we can't stop the pass. As we've seen, high-power offenses have been falling to better-balanced teams this postseason. This is my main concern. Yet, even in the face of my own arguments, I think the Patriots win 70% confidence level. Why? Because I saw something last weekend that I haven't seen for a few years. Troy Brown saw it, too. I saw the Patriots take it to a new level. They flipped the switch, and I think they stay there this week. I can't say the same for the Ravens. I just didn't see that magical spark that says Super Bowl bound.
Isn't it easy to have a magical spark when you play the what
the
do they
Broncos.
Like to call them? The Poor Sisters of the Blind? Whatever.
Little Sisters of the Poor.
Oh.
Well, that's
the
thing.
Sisters
I line. Think, you know.
That's Brooklyn Matt on line one calling.
You know, people like to look at the last game, and I understand that, but don't underestimate the Houston Texans. They're a good football team, you know.
Now, I think there was a spark on defense. I do. And I don't want to take that away. And I think there's something to be said that Chung and Spikes are that type of player. They like to hit people. They like to celebrate their hits. They like to celebrate other hits. But, again, I don't know how much of that was because they were playing a high school offense. They were jacked up to play the option, stop the option, and they knew they were hitting people. So it's hard. I feel like that guy. You look at this and you think this. You look at that and you think that.
If Joe Flacco throws the ball as ineffectively as Tim Tebow,
oh yeah,
I think you're going to see the same kind of spark on defense. Because
oh,
I don't
yeah.
think Ray Rice by himself will be able to beat you.
But, I mean, that's disrespectful to Joe Flacco.
No, I know that. But what I'm saying is, they had one thing and one thing only to concern themselves with last week. If they only have one thing to concern themselves with this week, they will similarly dominate,
right.
I think.
Right.
Now, if Flacco's had some games that he could go out and complete 45% of his passes mm-hmm. easily.
Yep.
If that happens, the Patriots are going to dominate defensively.
But what are the chances that happens?
They're not, I mean,
against this secondary.
Chances are he's closer to 60. Well, 65.
Is there a better chance that he throws for 120 or 320?
I would say 320. In terms of better chance, you know, the answer is probably somewhere in the middle. But better
chance. He throws
the ball
down the field and you don't cover down the field.
Better chance, 120 or 320, I would say 320.
Oh, yeah. Most
probably
likely
gonna be
it's
like,
240.
Yeah. Probably somewhere in the middle.
And, Fred, I want to get your read on something. Absent from the locker room this week for two straight days is one Chad Ochocinco, who's never absent from the locker room. He doesn't talk.
Right.
Well, he'll chat with you, but he won't talk. And he hasn't been in there all week.
Well, he's part of the secret of this week. Not that he's going to do it on the field, but he's played the Ravens many, 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 many times. So they're using him a lot in the defensive team meetings to give some insight.
Do you know this, or are you BSing this?
I'm BSing it.
But actually, I think he's lunch.
I was thinking about that the other day. It's like, well, you know, he's got some experience against
this team. He's played well against him.
It's one of the better teams that he's played against.
You know?
He's done better against them than anybody but Cleveland.
You know, maybe he could actually be of use this week.
Secret weapon.
Yeah. Not on the field.
I don't want to make too much of it because he actually tweeted, like, anybody ever seen this so-and-so show? I'm watching it in the lunchroom now. So he was just watching TV in the lunchroom, but...
Gene in Daytona, in each of the Ravens' four losses this year, Ray Rice had 60 yards or less rushing, and Flacco turned the ball over two-plus times. I watched the Jacksonville Ravens game, and in it, Ray Rice got off to a slow start and was frustrated early. His sideline body language said everything. You could see him with the famous LT pout and moping around. In this year's Jaguar game, Rice had 28 yards rushing and 35 yards receiving. Did the pout and moping then.
He got benched in that game.
So I say forget Paul's nod this Sunday and look for the pout. Do not be surprised if the Ravens get behind early that Cam Cameron abandons the run game. He has done it all year. We need to take the ball on the coin toss, go ahead, and then let Cam Cameron panic and beat himself. He has never beaten Bill Belichick, and it has to be in his mind. I say force. If Flacco forced to win the game by passing with that poor pass blocking line, and they will lose even going after our well-advertised weak DBs. A lot of misspellings here, though. In that Jacksonville game, the Jaguars DBs beat up the Ravens wideouts and took them out of the game. Jacksonville could have had three more interceptions, but dropped them and won the game on four field goals.
That was a weird game. I didn't
watch
the whole thing.
Terrible game.
Two of the best running backs in football swapped fumbles back and forth, Maurice Jones-Drew and Ray Rice. And that was a weird, weird game.
Right. There was a lot of fumbles.
Yeah.
That's right.
It was a strange start. And it's like both teams were caught off guard. Whoa, whoa, whoa. These are our franchise backs. What do we do now?
Yeah, to me, it was like the Buffalo game for the Patriots, only the opposite. Instead of a high-scoring slugfest, it was a low-scoring slugfest in that the turnovers on both sides. I mean, how many times does Brady throw four interceptions in a game?
Right.
You know, how many times does Ray Rice put the ball on the ground? You know, things happen in particular games. Just a terrible game. I watched a good portion of the first half of that game, and it was as bad as a football team can play. Baltimore looked completely disinterested in the game, and they played like it. And Jacksonville hammered them. I mean, it was only 12-7 or something 12-7. Like that. But Baltimore didn't belong on the field that night. They got dominated.
Robin Marlboro, possibly the best show ever on Tuesday. First, Paul gets wound up tight by a caller. Then Fred and Annie get in a screaming match over their attitudes on making generalizations about Gronk and other stuff. I think some video of that fight would be priceless. And don't apologize. I wouldn't have it any other way. On to this week. What is the bigger threat in general, the Ravens passing game or running game? And which is a bigger threat to the Patriots defense specifically? Last week, I ran out of PFW to listen to while I driving and put on some 98.5. What a horrible cluster F of a crap load that station is. Wow. Paul, you going to defend your station?
No.
Okay.
You might want to defend it. Isn't it like our business partner? They are the flagship station of the New England Patriots.
Well, just for the game.
I don't know what shows he was talking about because I don't think anything of the first two shows on that station at all.
Do they do the game this week?
I think both stations have the game this week.
Because there's a national and there's a local.
On Westwood One, there's a broadcast on EEI.
So competing.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, though, I think. No matter where you go on your sports, the game's on. Can't say about that about the Red Sox.
Remember I told you that I wanted to talk to you about...
He's a bleeping moron.
You do know that. You can, but that's okay.
No, I want to talk to you about January, Paul.
Yesterday, I heard the overnight guy, DA, was talking about the Ravens defense, and he says, you know, Ray Lewis, surefire Hall of Famer. Who knows? Ed Reed, he might be. And I'm thinking to myself, really? You don't think he's a lock?
The might be is when you get down to, like, Terrell Suggs.
Right.
If he has three more years of 14 sacks, now he becomes a Hall of Famer, whatever.
Right.
But those two, and Bill, I believe, said it yesterday, too. It's so rare to have two of the best players ever at their position to be on the same team for the same period of time.
Bill today right. called him what he would call the greatest weak safety in the history of football.
He might be a Hall
maybe
of Famer.
Maybe he's a Hall of Famer.
This Belichick guy, he's seen some players over the years.
TG and NJ says, hey, Fred, I like AccuWeather myself.
But I got to download another one now?
Just look outside. You're in New England. It's going to change. And you're right. Andy has been extra edgy this season. Nice to see he has recognized his latent homosexuality. Squidward must have something to say about that.
Is it latent or blatant?
Both. Guys, how many times, win or lose, has Belichick been to the Super Bowl? They were talking about it on Sirius NFL this morning. They found out Dan Reeves, as a player and coach, has been to the big dance 9 times. The conversation reminded me that Adam Vinatieri has been there 5 times and has a ring for every finger on one hand. Hasn't the Pats' old strength coach, Wojcik, been there a lot between the Pats and Cowboys?
Yes.
And, Fred, were you there in 96? I was.
Vinatieri has 4 rings, right?
4 rings.
4 rings.
Is he being literal that the thumb's not
He's
a finger?
He's been 6 times, though,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Not 5, 6 times.
We lost one with
he
the
lost
Colts.
He lost one with the Patriots and the Colts.
Right.
Right.
So but he's been only, there 6-4. He's
got 4 rings.
He's 4-2 in the Super Bowl.
And did you see right. where he wouldn't wear them? SportsCenter wanted him to wear them.
Oh, really?
When he did the car wash, I guess, and he was on, and he actually, like, they put out a quote, out of respect to my current team and former team, I didn't feel it appropriate to wear my Super Bowl rings during the playoffs.
Oh. And, speaking of rings, Larry wants
and
to
yes,
know.
Mike Wojcik. Yes. Yeah. 6, I believe.
So Belichick has 2 as a coordinator.
Yeah, he's got 5
with the
rings.
Giants.
You know the boat?
And then he has 3 with the Patriots.
Right.
Plus 1, so that's 5, and then 1 other with the Patriots that they lost, that's 6.
Well, and he lost one with the Patriots twice.
And he lost another one with the Patriots, that's 7.
Right.
So he's been to 7.
So he's been to 7. If Dan Reeves has 9.
Yeah.
So
he had
so a Bill's
couple
been,
as a
this, could be, this could be Bill's 8th trip to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right,
and I like the Brady one, the 6-9 AFC title games in 9 years as the real starter,
yeah.
you know, removing the injuries.
It's unbelievable.
It kind of
it
is.
It really is. Larry, speaking of rings, says he wants to know if Fat Albert would get a
isn't
ring
it,
if the Patriots won.
Isn't it 10 years as a quarterback if you remove 08, right? 1 to 11.
Oh, yeah,
that's,
maybe
that's,
it is.
That's
10
seasons, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11.
Okay, yeah. 6-10. That's nothing.
Yeah,
it was
I mean,
so much more impressive when it was 6-9.
Well, I just wanted to be accurate.
Does Haynesworth,
Brooklyn Matt on line 2.
Screw accuracy and screw him, too.
Would Haynesworth get a ring? No, he wouldn't. I don't think he would, right?
You I don't think he would.
I don't think he would.
No.
I don't know that you're in position to just say no.
I know he's not, but I agree with him on this
and
one.
And more important, do you know how Lonnie Paxton's wife is? I liked him, and he looked like he enjoyed life.
He did enjoy life. I don't know any update about that. I actually, you know, it's funny. I almost asked Dan Copen about that, if he had spoken to him. But
no news, probably good news, right?
Yeah.
Bad news would be big news.
Right. Peter in Manchester, England, one of the major problems I remember from the 2009 game against the Ravens was one of the Baltimore defensive guys, I can't remember who, said they knew what play was coming by Tom Brady's cadence. First, is this possible? And second, is this something we should worry about?
I would take anything from that 09 game and completely eliminate it from any relevance. It's so long ago, I don't think it means anything.
Plus, the only thing that I think meant anything is, like, 4 plays in, you were down 14-0. It was a total butt-whooping from the start. You know what I mean? It just started and snowballed in the wrong direction beyond the fact that the personnel you had on the field was certainly not ideal.
But I just feel like it was so long, even if it was the same people.
No, but I'm
saying.
It
was so long ago.
Any game that starts with you giving up an 80-yard touchdown on the first play.
Oh, yeah. No, the game itself.
And a strip sack on your first offensive snap that leads to another touchdown and a 14-point deficit. My guess is your odds of losing are about 99.9%.
Right. Gene writes in, I watched the Ridley pass reception and then the fumble in slow motion, and Steven took a head to a head a helmet to the head hit from 77 Buckley. Buckley knocked himself out from the hit, and Ridley got up dazed and walked into the ref. He was out on his feet going back to the sideline. This is what caused Ridley to release his grip on the ball for a split second. He was in the grasp of two other players, and as a defensive receiver, took the hit, and a penalty should have been called. Why didn't anyone see this and say anything? No one could have held on to that ball. So please, let's get off the Ridley and saying he shouldn't play Sunday. He feels bad enough already. Go look at the tape. It should have been a penalty on Buckley, not a fumble. Bill will see the tape, and Steven will be in the game Sunday. You can bet on it.
So he was not a runner at that point?
Yeah, he was a runner. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's not
much
penalty.
As I don't he care for the rule.
He wasn't a defenseless receiver.
I don't like when they pick. It's all about safety, but they pick and choose when helmet-to-helmet matters.
Yeah.
That I don't like, but he was a runner, so by the rule. And the other issue is, you're telling me Ben Jarvis has never taken a big hit? I mean, at some point, you take a big hit. It's part of the game. You still lost the ball.
It was like, who was the guy in the Saints? Not Jimmy Graham. Who was the guy that lost the ball on the hit when Dante Whitner knocked him out?
Yes.
It was a fumble.
One of the running
backs. Pierre Thomas, I think you're right.
It was one of the backs.
It was a helmet-to-helmet hit. Yeah, he fumbled.
But
they didn't call it.
But
it was fumbled.
I'm not comparing it to Patrick Pass when his hamstring hurt and he dropped the ball. But
he got shot from the third level.
I actually think that those plays not being called penalties are making for a better playoffs.
But more importantly, we talked about, he didn't put Ridley back in.
Right.
But maybe it's because he was a little dazed and they were being precautionary.
Is he on the injury report?
No.
Yeah, and I don't think he played much after his fumble against Buffalo either.
Okay. So
I think he stayed in against Buffalo because they were in a hurry-up. I want to say he had to run right back to the play.
Right.
But then I do think after that it kind of got limited.
Alex from Philly, pride comes before the fall, he says. I know everyone in Patriots Nation is ready to anoint the Patriots a Super Bowl champion, but let's slow down and think rationally. Yes, we dominated the Broncos in every area of the game, but it was the Broncos. Need I remind everyone who plays QB for them? I agree with Fred that all of this overconfidence is making me nervous about this game. Unlike most fans, I think this will be a tough game, and I give us a 55% chance of winning because we're at home, and I think that Wacko Flacco is not a great quarterback. However, this defense has proven time and time again that ordinary quarterbacks can play like Pro Bowlers against them, so I'm not guaranteeing anything. I still think we will win, but I do fear Ray Rice. I still have that horrible memory of Ray Rice going 80 yards in the very first play of the game back in 09. I would like to say that this defense is better than the 09 defense, but who are we kidding? I hope that the D stays hot and rides this momentum and has another great performance this week. Quick question, who would you guys rather face in the Super Bowl, Niners or Giants? For me, personally, it's the Giants, so we can exercise some demons of the past.
Niners.
You'd rather face
them? I would, too, because I think you got a better chance of winning.
I think all those other storylines are all great, and after the fact, it's great to say, well, I want the easier team.
Right, and I'll take Alex Smith.
I think the Niners could very easily beat the Giants this week, but in terms of for the Patriots, I would rather face a team that is very much like the one you're playing right now. Strong defense, limited offense. I'll take my chances.
And I'd argue with a lesser quarterback.
The Giants
have more confidence in Flacco than Smith.
The Giants don't have the defense that the Ravens and in the Niners do.
But they
can cause some problems, which they already have for you.
Yep.
And they also can match you score for score if they don't cause you problems defensively. They have two ways to win.
But since we probably shouldn't be looking ahead to the Super Bowl, I've heard a couple comments out of Baltimore this week that, my own perception is Joe Flacco could be playing the beginning
of the contract,
end.
Yeah.
Well, but more than a contract, just not about money, being a leader.
But that's what they're deciding on, is he the guy of the future?
Yeah, but I don't even think it has anything to do with contracts. Money is just does the guy stink? Can we not go to where we want to go with this guy, whether he already had a 10-year deal or whether he needed a new one? And I've actually heard that there's a chance Cam Cameron won't be back if they don't win them.
I can't imagine he's back in any regard.
So you have two guys that are playing for their jobs, literally.
You know, someone brought up earlier that Cam Cameron has never beaten the Patriots. How many times has he played them?
Last year, right? He was with Baltimore. He was with Miami for the 1 year, so at least twice.
The Miami thing, he was 1-15. You know, he didn't beat anybody.
We have to look up his
and then the San Diego years.
They didn't beat the San. I mean, was he? They lost the playoff game that year, obviously, but they never played him before that and beat him. He wasn't the coordinator then.
I don't know exactly when he was the
I just can't imagine he has more than like strippers. Four or five games against the Patriots.
We need Cam Cameron's rundown of games against Bill Belichick.
I don't think much of Cam Cameron. I think that's another huge plus for the Patriots this week, by the way.
Cam Cameron does. I think he's one and of those also, guys with the glasses. He looks like he likes himself.
The only thing I would say about I think Marquee. he gets a lot of criticism. Every time they lose a game, Ray Rice doesn't get the touches. And I think that's one of those things that's cause and effect. I think when you lose, you're not able to play the game that you wanted to play. It's not because, I forgot about Ray Rice. Generally, when you're not successful, that Jacksonville game wasn't because they didn't want to run Ray Rice.
Right.
It's because he wasn't getting anywhere.
And he kept fumbling it.
Right.
You know, and then he got benched.
Right.
You know, it's not because, we didn't get him 20 carries, so we lost. I mean, if it was that easy, you'd just go out and hand him the ball 20 times in a row.
It's like Rex Ryan's thing, where he's got that whole completions plus carries, if it equals this number, we always win. Well, obviously, if you're running the football right. And completing passes, you're going to win games.
That's hindsight.
I didn't watch it. I caught the very end of it. Tomlinson was on Showtime last night ripping them again.
Yeah, he said that
as bad a locker room as he's ever been around.
I don't think he's doing himself any favors.
Well, Ladainian Tomlinson is
as bad a locker room as he's ever been around.
Shut up, you. Wait a year. I mean, you can say that stuff down there. You know, I remember when we were in New York, that was a tough locker room. If you're saying that 3 years from
now,
he
should
not
be calling anyone out for being a bad teammate or anything, because he's the worst.
he's the worst.
I just think that Tomlinson killed himself with one decision not to play injured. I don't know these things to be true.
He's a finger pointer. James in Brisbane. I haven't emailed all week, but I'm really looking forward to the AFC Championship game this week, and I like our chances, especially with the tight ends. But my biggest concern is the offense pooping their pants and not being able to recover. Just wanted to email you guys to say a special thanks this week for keeping me entertained. My nan died on Monday morning, and the shows this week have kept my spirits up. After the funeral later today, this episode will be the first thing going on my iPod. So thanks for doing what you do, even Kevin, for being the butt of jokes and not going postal on the legendary Andy. The good news for the week is I'm starting a new job on Tuesday, not Monday, since the Patriots are playing straight after Arsenal Man United. And with part of my first payday, I'm renewing the online subscription to the paper I had to let lapse until last August. Later in the year, during the off season, I will get you guys lunch too for being the best podcast on the net. Feel free to forward this part to the head office. Now, as for the game this weekend, I have two questions about the defensive scheme. Do you think we will see McCourty playing safety with Chung to give us a bit more speed when trying to cover Smith on his deep routes? Also, do you think we will have more success rushing Flacco up the middle with Wilfork and Love or off the edge with Anderson? I'd like to have some big bodies in there to stop the run, but Anderson should be able to use his speed pretty effectively. Am I crazy, or is this a possibility?
It's a possibility.
I think better off the edge.
Let me ask you a question. Rob Ninkovich had a good game plan game last week. You know, he had a certain role against a certain type of offense, and he did it really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the strength of Vrabel. You could ask him to do different things in the defense, and he could do it. You know, a term for that is like the elephant linebacker sometimes. You know, they goes and does different things. Assuming that Belichick has confidence in Ninkovich to continue that, what do you think against the Ravens would be his role?
It's a good question.
I mean, would he be looking at Rice? Would he be the guy? Or
I think he's going to be more.
Would he be the guy?
I think he's going to be more of a pass rusher.
Yeah. I was going to say, would he be the guy that would get off the edge?
Well, I think he'll be used as more of a pass rusher. I think that's a bad mismatch for him athletically, Ray Rice. Yeah. I think if you're looking for one of your outside linebackers in their 4-3, it's Mayo. I mean, that's the athletic equivalent. Now, I don't know that it's a good matchup.
I'll go a little outside the box and throw a guy maybe in some sub packages like Dane Fletcher, who I think is faster. And maybe operates a little bit better in space. I think I'm not saying that he's going to shut down Ray Rice. Let's, you know, pump the brakes. But I think he's a guy that in the passing game for Ray Rice might be able to tackle him and limit it to a 5-yard catch as opposed to, you know, a 12-yard catch that he gets the first down.
Right.
But I also don't think he's a great pass rusher. I think he's kind of...
He's not great at
the
anything.
The whole Vrabel thing, I think he's a bench press weaker and a step slower
he
than
He does
Mike
all
Vrabel
the things
the
that
edge.
Vrabel did, just not quite as well as
right.
Mike did him. But listen, I think he's been a great story, and I think he's continuing to get better. We had someone that sort of chastised us in the offseason, saying, you know, look back at Vrabel's first year and compare it to Ninkovich last year and see where Vrabel ended up going. Well, Ninkovich is sort of built on last year a little bit. Yeah. I don't think he's as good as Vrabel, but I think we're thinking of Vrabel in 07, the all-pro Vrabel.
Yeah, but I think Vrabel was pretty good in 03, 04, 05, and 06.
Well, too. I think that as soon as they got him, they were like, wow, why didn't Pittsburgh use him? Immediately, I remember people saying, why didn't Pittsburgh use him as much as or in the way that we're using them?
Well, but he wasn't in 01, 02 what he was. But I think by 03, 04, he had established himself as a centerpiece of defense.
Yeah.
And because he could do X, Y, Z, you know, he's rushing this week, he's more in coverage, all that.
Yeah.
And I think Paul's right. Ninko is a poor man's Vrabel.
He's good. I think Vrabel for
a
time
was... I don't mean that as a shot.
Yeah.
I
think Vrabel for a time was great. And I think Ninkovich is good.
I mean, Danny Woodhead is a poor man's Falk or whatever you want to... I mean, there's reasons some of these guys are great and are franchise legends.
Sam in Chicago, I feel like it's Jekyll and Hyde for Paul and Andy. During the pregame social, they're fired up and optimistic about the upcoming game. During the weekly show, I haven't really heard or gotten the feeling that Andy and Paul are excited about where the Patriots have gotten and are waiting for the other shoe to drop. Common guys.
Come on, guys. Yeah. I'm not even reading it.
It's spelled C-O-M-M-O-N.
But I knew what you meant. It just flows. It's like those paragraphs where they take out every other letter. You can still read it. A normal person can still read it.
No, it's spelled C-O-M-M-O-N. How do you read that?
Come on.
No, that's
common.
Come on,
guys.
Common.
No, common.
But do you get my point? You get that email where they move all these letters around and you can still read it because you in
if
the
someone
context
wrote C-O-M-M-O-N, I would read common.
Right. Oh, you guys are idiots.
I would.
Yeah.
Eh.
Go back to teaching. Come on, guys. Show a little Homerism in you and let's enjoy the moment that the promised land in ring number 4 is in sight. Sure, be realistic that this will be a fight on Sunday, but I like our chances. Let the optimism gas.
Again,
I don't know if that meant GAS or something else.
I don't know what that means either, but I would say that right now I'm leaning toward the Patriots winning the game.
You picked them, right?
We taped the thing.
You
that'll
have
be
to
on
run out
tomorrow.
And retape that segment.
I changed my mind, guys.
I need to replay.
I think that the edge with Brady over Flacco was the difference. I think the Patriots are going to win the game. But last week, we had all kinds of optimism coming up to the game.
No one could have been more optimistic than you.
That's
you
what I'm saying.
A bye.
Last week, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
You know,
I think
we didn't,
the team was equally optimistic, though, based on the giddy nature.
Right. But what I'm saying is we didn't change. We often get that's a common criticism of the pregame social, Freddie, is that Andy and I are all jacked up on Sundays.
It's game day.
And predicting wins. But it's game day. The game is there. You get a little bit jacked up for it. I don't get jacked up for a game that I think they're going to lose and say that I think they're going to win all of a sudden because on Sunday when I think they're going to lose. If I pick them to lose the game, I'm not going to then turn around and say on Sunday that I think they're going to win.
Right.
Last week, we were jacked up from Tuesday through Friday, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday that they were going to blow out Denver. All of us were.
And I wanted to see them blow
except
out.
Except for Eric.
I hate Tim Tebow.
Except for Eric. I don't want to speak for everybody. Eric thought it was going to be a close game.
Paul writes in, I, for one, am concerned about the outcome on Sunday. I can see the Patriots defense not able to get off the field on third down and could see the Ravens defense getting to Brady. I will have some extra Irish red on hand in case things go bad. So, well, I mean.
Freddie, the all-important question for you is, are you prepared emotionally?
Am I emotionally prepared to lose this game?
Yeah.
You should.
I got to say that I am.
Okay.
Yeah. I got to say that I am. I'm not going to be – I'll be distraught if they lose, but not surprised.
Well, you'll be distraught in the game, too.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be a dogfight. There's going to be plays that go both ways, and you're going to be going, ah, those big sighs you release, and they're going to call it that way. We've got no time. You'll have some of that on the blog this week. It'll be a good blog because you should get at least 3.5-4 quarters of competitive, edge-of-your-seat anxious analysis.
Lar writes in, it's Larry the Drunk. In my last email, when I mentioned it was my 21st birthday, Fred, you acted surprised to my age, believing I was a lot older. The name Larry the Drunk was actually coined by Paul when I first emailed the show the week of Super Bowl 42, Andy claiming that because I'm Irish and 17 at the time, I must be drunk. Nice to know Andy steers clear of stereotypes.
No, generalizations.
My name is, in fact, Lawrence, or Lar, as my friends call me, probably Lair. But I guess Larry the Drunk has now stuck. Anyway, my question is, in reading scouting notes from the 2000 Senior Bowl, many scouts pointed out Tom Brady's accuracy and high football IQ, but noticed that he threw a poor deep ball. Now, over the years, I've seen Tom's arm become stronger, with his throws having more velocity, but I feel despite the bombs away approach of 2007 in that touchdown to Branch last week, that his deep ball is still the most inconsistent part of his game. I'm not even thinking about deep completions, but simply putting the ball on the man deep. Do you ever think that is that's one of the reasons the play calling often avoids a deep ball when maybe it's required? No. I'll tell you, no, guys that have been known for the great deep ball usually had a guy that was a great speed wide receiver that could run under it. You know, it was less about accuracy as it was arm strength and a guy that you just knew you could fire it and he's going to get there.
I would say, and I'd also say that a lot of Brady's deep balls, quote unquote, these one like Branch, that's not a deep ball. He hit a guy in stride.
That was a rope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's really good at those. How many times has he done that over the last two or three years? Every time they play cover two, they take chances. That little zone when the receiver gets by the corner and the safety's a little bit too deep, they take that chance and he hits him in stride. But I don't know. There are guys that throw a nice deep ball. You know, I'm trying to, like, Tony Banks and who's the Blake guy?
Jeff Blake threw a great Blake. Deep ball.
I don't know that he was always aligned with some great receiver.
Yeah,
but he could throw a nice deep ball.
A beautiful spiral, and he had great arm strength. But
no, but it's dropping it in a bucket.
But the email is talking about accuracy.
Yeah, and I think that guys that throw great deep balls can do that 50 yards downfield and drop it on a dime. And I don't think that's been
like
Tom's
Rohan
strength.
Davey had a cannon. He didn't throw a great deep ball.
No.
Jeff Blake threw a good deep ball. That was a legitimate description.
Unfortunately for Jeff Blake, he couldn't throw anything else.
But a bad receiver can make a good deep ball look bad. You know what
sure.
I mean?
If they, like
no,
Bethel Johnson.
That's absolutely accurate,
I gave him
friend.
Credit for extra gears that I don't think other guys here that Brady's thrown it out for have had.
That's
whether
absolutely
it's been
accurate.
Ocho,
it can work
Slater.
Both ways. It can work both ways. You could throw a pretty good deep ball, like you guys are saying, the guy can make it look worse. But I don't think that's something that Tom has been great at over the years. But you're right, Fred. Your remark about the generalities of not having a real, other than Moss, not having a real legitimate deep threat to make those balls look better, he never really has had that.
All right, let's take a
deep
quick
balls.
Break.
Making the
food
balls
is here. We need
better.
To eat a little bit.
Ball so hard.
Get our energy back. I'm starting to faint a little bit. When we come back, we have a lot of emails, and some of them are good.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't it? Right?
No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Mm, these Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites. Your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love,
love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Gear up for the AFC Championship at the official team store, the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise anywhere, from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, game day party gear, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Not a lot of calls today, a lot of emails. Not a lot of calls. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. That's where the action is. Eric in Maryland writes in, been listening for about 3 years now. I'm a Pats fan for life, and I post on Kirschwords sometimes as Eric in Maryland. I remember you, Eric, very well. I live in the heart of Redskins land and, more importantly, Ravens country. These fans are way overconfident down here. All I hear about is Ray Wright's running all over us this weekend. It's not the 2009 personnel out there, idiots. They have no idea about our tight end duo. or that the wide receiver core has changed other than the obvious Ocho pickup. So if you think the fans up there are getting a little cocky, you have no idea how bad it can be. The Patriots must destroy these purple vultures so the Maryland Ravens fans can shut the hell up. They are confident down there.
They should be.
They've been coming to our message board a little bit.
They should be. They're the 2 seed. They're facing the 1 seed. They've, you know, been in the playoffs. They feel like they're building something.
And they're, you know, I know they lost last year in overtime, but their last really experience in this situation was just absolutely decimating this team, you know.
And that's one element that I say is in their favor. We keep talking about the home field. Baltimore is not afraid to come here and play. You know, they lost last year, but it was an overtime game that they probably kicked away. They had a 10-point fourth-quarter lead. They probably feel like they should have won the game. The previous time to that, they won. The previous time to that, they dropped a pass on the 4-yard line or were going in to win. So they're not afraid to come up here and play. A lot of other teams are. Yeah, the Denver team didn't want any part of playing last week.
Yeah, for a long time, they were like the younger brother who just can't get over the hump against the older brother, and then they finally did in that playoff game.
And they play these games. I mean, even you play Pittsburgh twice a year. This is, they're used to
this.
There's
not
going to
be any more intensity on Sunday than they have in a normal Pittsburgh game. They, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They hate Pittsburgh, and there's not going to be any more intensity on the field this week than they have for those regular season games with Pittsburgh.
Right. Aaron in Virginia. Hey, gentlemen, and Andy. Since Ray Rice is apparently the key to a Ravens victory, do you think Bill uses the Marshall Faulk defense on him, where everyone is just hitting him on every play? Taking him out of the game knocks out not only the rusher, but the leading receiver, right? On the other side of the ball, how do you think the Ravens match up against Gronk, Wes, and Aaron?
Was that a bounty? Taking him out of the game?
Well, you know, taking his production out of the game.
Not literally.
Yeah, come on.
Sounded a little
You
bit
of
like
all
no.
people should know that terminology.
You take him out of the game.
Right.
You know?
I don't think he's not Ray. I mean, he's not Marshall Faulk.
Right.
But I think they're going to use a similar kind of a defensive element to that, is making sure that he's accounted for.
But I don't
play.
Think they use him in the same way in terms of moving him all over the formation like Faulk was. I mean, Faulk was a wide receiver a lot. I don't think Ray Rice does that a lot.
No, they're not going to split him out wide. They'll run some wheel routes with him and stuff,
yeah.
Bill said today.
And that's a bad matchup for every Patriot.
Yeah, but I do think he's going to get that kind of treatment. I think they're going to go after him and try to make it physical on him and make sure he pays for it.
Aaron wants to know, how do you think the Ravens will match up against Gronk, Wes, and Aaron?
What do you mean by match up?
Well, who?
Jimmy Smith is obviously a guy, based on the way Bill talked about it today.
Did he play much last week?
No. The Patriots certainly think that he's going to be a big part of what they do defensively, because he's a rare corner with the size and speed to play.
So you put him on Hernandez, you bracket Gronkowski.
We'll see. That's why I picked Wes Welker as my jet high flyer.
Yeah, I think Welker's a guy they've handled in the past.
And lastly, if you all had to pick one surprise playmaker on each side of the ball for this week's game, who do you think steps up? Andy, let's keep it to Patriots players. I'm not looking for Webb and Smith as answers. Thanks.
That's a great line.
How about Kyle Love, interior pressure.
Okay. I like it.
Even though, as we talked about, he may be dealing with a little issue on his ankle leg.
Yeah, I saw that.
But, you know, there was talk of him having a walking boot in his locker. I saw him walk through the locker room today.
Yeah.
So he looked okay. And it's not like he ever is really, you know, bouncing on his feet. I mean, he walks like a nose tackle. Offensively, surprise. I mean, who would be a surprise?
Ridley.
Edelman.
I mean, if Ridley came in and ran for 80 yards, I'd be a little surprised based
yeah.
on last game, you know?
So
well,
Ridley.
If he plays, I think he'll produce.
Yeah.
I mean, if Bill has decided, I can't risk it, like we've sort of been wondering, you know, is Bill going to say, I can't have him be a big part of the game because I don't know about his ball security. But if he plays, if he gets a you know, as much playing time as he got down the stretch, I think he'd get 70, 80 yards. I do. I don't think the Ravens are going to care about stopping the run. I think they're going to do everything they can to stop the pass.
I don't think they care in terms of they're going to focus on overload any, but I just think they're tough to run against. I don't think they have to really care to be tough to run
against. No, but if the Patriots stretch them out, there'll be some yards to gain on the ground.
Sure. But yeah, you still have to deal with Ray Lewis and Haloti Ngata. They don't get moved out. They stay where they are in the middle of the field, and they're formidable.
Brandon writes in, says the league says they'll be reviewing the helmet-to-helmet rule on runners.
They need to.
I don't think they need to.
I do. If you're talking about safety.
I mean, think about it. The runner, you're running upright. You see contact coming. The first thing you do is what? Lower your shoulder pad level, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they teach you. So that lowers your head. You're going to have – there's helmet-to-helmet on almost every running play, and it's not on purpose.
They need to look at it. If you're really about safety, you need to look at it. You can't deem certain – I mean, you just can't. Because the whole defenseless thing, everybody is to some degree defenseless at all times. Because you're one guy with – guys coming from all angles that you can't see, and I don't just deem it for offense or defense. I mean, you can get blocked the same way. You know, you're one of 22 guys on the field, so at some point you're defenseless. There's somebody you don't see coming at you at a high rate of speed. And if you're truly bottom line safety first, you need to look at it.
Yeah, but I just don't see how they can look at a play and say, oh, that was...
I don't know either. I'm just saying you
need
to look at it.
I don't think every time that it's a helmet-to-helmet hit, it needs to be deemed a penalty. But I do agree with Andy. I think that it's highly hypocritical to just say defenseless receivers and quarterbacks, you can't. But if the guy's a runner, then you can lower your head and go helmet to helmet. No, you shouldn't be able to do that. That's called spearing, and it's been a penalty for a long time. Now, I don't necessarily think what happened Saturday night is an indicator. I don't think that Broderick Bunkley went in and said, I'm going to lead with my head and try to hit him in
right.
his head. But I think that
would that have been a penalty?
I don't know what the new rule is going to be.
I just think it'll be absolutely
yes, actually,
impossible
was.
To call that. I
see.
Really
I just feel like the defensive
you lower
players,
your pad level, so immediately
defensive players in this league have to do a better job of making sure that the first thing that makes contact with a player is not his helmet.
Right. Right.
And that's the problem. I don't care if it's helmet to helmet or just helmet to shoulder, helmet
if
to
they
stomach.
Just instituted
you shouldn't hit
my
helmet
rule,
first.
Then it would help a little bit.
Lead with your arms.
Right. Go in trying to make a tackle and not a hit. You know, that would clear some of this up.
But that's what I'm talking about. That Bunkley play, he wasn't going in trying to make a hit. He had his arms out. He wrapped him up. But the first thing that made contact was his head. Get your head down and to the side, not just forward. And I think too many guys do that. They hit with their head first, intentionally. And I think that's when you get in trouble with concussions and neck injuries and all the other dangers that go along with football.
Johnny in South Carolina, you honor it yourself if you don't take a phone call from Tim. Do you think Chung's hit was a hit out of bounds? If so, do you think Gronk was hit out of bounds earlier? That was a definite hit out of bounds.
Chung's was a blatant cheap shot. Gronk got tackled out of bounds. Absolutely. Could have been a 15-yard penalty.
You know why it wasn't?
Because he got tackled around the waist. It wasn't a big hit out of bounds.
Well, I also think because he's big. They look at little guys differently than big guys. If you're big, they don't, you know, because it's not as dramatic. It's the big guy.
That was close.
If you see a little guy get tossed around, they call it.
I think that was an example of the regular season rules being different than the playoff rules.
I'm worried about this game if Nate Solder can't play and Cannon has to spend significant time at guard. And if he has to spend significant time at guard, Brady might have a rough day. I'm also worried about a backup center going against what might be the best nose tackle in the game.
That's a concern.
Can you imagine what this season would have been had we not drafted these guys? And FYI, I'm taking copies of PFW and leaving them in waiting rooms of the hospital at which I work, and I have noticed them being read. I am now thinking of myself as the Johnny Appleseed of PFW. Well, thank you. That's great. Did he say he works in the hospital?
I believe he said.
Maybe we could send you some so that you can do this all the time.
To more hospitals. Just move around.
Right.
That'd be kind of cool. It would be like, you know, Meals on Wheels, where like football news on wheels.
Sure.
We bring it to the patients.
Sure.
The Ngata matchup is a concern. And Dan Conley's a concern just because every once in a while he gets a little bit undressed and he looks like a guy that was kind of a backup before he became a jack of all trades reserve. You know, I keep going back to the Sean Ellis kind of bitch slapped him a little bit last year for the Jets, and Ngata is certainly a much better player than Sean Ellis is at this point.
Aaron,
although he hasn't had a great year, so be interesting.
Another Aaron writes in: do you think Reed's lambasting of the Ravens' offense will serve as a deterrent to the team come Sunday? And what do you guys think of Flacco's crying session to the press yesterday?
I don't care for Flacco the way he's handled it the last couple of days. Paul and I have
embarrassing.
Talked, yes, but Paul and I have talked about the fact that Ed Reed is a smart guy, and there's a possibility that this was a calculated maneuver on their part.
It's very interesting you say that, Andy, because the next email is from Andrew in Red Bank, New Jersey, and he says, "Do you think Ed Reed said those comments about Flacco were to call him out by design?"
Yes.
In other words, the Ravens are so confident that the Patriots' defensive backfield is so bad that he thinks Flacco should have a big day. Probably when Flacco went up to him, Reed said, "Don't worry about it. You'll toast this defense." The comment that always comes to mind is what Roethlisberger said after our game, that they were going to throw until his arm fell off.
Yeah, I do think there's a, and Paul, you know, we were talking about it, and Paul said, "Well, you know, couldn't he have just said it in the locker room?" And my guess is maybe things have been said like this before, and to really try to take that next step. Let's be honest, Ed Reed might be done. If he wins, he's definitely done. But he's never won a Super Bowl. He doesn't know how many chances he's getting. And for all I know, this was with John Harbaugh, with his blessing, with his discussion. I mean, when a guy comes out and has specific plays that he's referencing, it just felt a little too orchestrated, scripted.
Yeah, and I also thought that he's too smart of a guy to say stupid
he's
things.
He's never done that before.
To say stupid things by accident. In other words...
What's the worst thing he's ever done? Can you ever think of him being, like, the one who's being criticized for X?
No, I don't really recall him being around any controversy whatsoever. But my point being just that there's too much evidence of him doing and saying the right thing to not think that he, I really screwed that up.
Right.
You know, I don't think it's really realistic to expect that he did that by accident.
Right.
My question still stands, though, that I asked Andy this morning. You know, why wouldn't you just go to him in the locker room and say, "Listen, you know, this stuff that we had against Houston, we can't have that. You know, you got to do A, B, and C better, and you got to be tougher, and the offensive line's got to be better." I don't know why you can't keep that in-house, but, you know, Andy brought up maybe they've sort of tried that in the past, and it hasn't worked. So
make or break time.
Who knows?
Is there anything Bill Belichick and the defense can do right away to get into Flacco's head?
Hit him.
Would you take a risk,
no,
in other words, right away, to try to do get in his head early?
No.
Just got to get pressure on him.
Yeah. But I wouldn't be doing an all-out blitz on the first snap.
You wouldn't do that.
No, because I think there's a chance you end with an 80-yard
touchdown.
Instead
of an 83-yard touchdown run by Ray Rice, you get an 83-yard touchdown pass to Torrey Smith.
Chris, that didn't work as planned.
Chris from Stamford, Connecticut, says that Cam Cameron was the interim coach of Miami in 04 when they upset the Patriots.
That's incorrect.
I thought it was the other guy.
Jim Bates.
Yeah, that everybody
That's right.
loved.
You're right.
Yeah.
Jim Bates, the defensive guy.
Everybody wanted him to get the job, and he
did. Right, it was the defensive guy.
Yeah, Cameron was the Dolphins coach in 07, I want to say. He had 1 year. He was the Dolphins coach.
Right.
He went 1-15.
But Strippers has the full list. He was with San Diego in 02. They beat the Patriots 21-14. His offense had 342 yards. 238 of those were rushing. In San Diego, in 05, they beat the Patriots 41-17. Offense had 431 yards. And then from then on, they were all, they weren't all losses. 06, San Diego lost. 07, Miami lost. 07, they lost again. Baltimore in 09, they lost. But then in 09, they won.
So he was with Baltimore for the playoff win even.
Okay. Yeah, and then in 2010, they lost.
So he's beaten him three times.
Yeah. He has a losing record, but he hasn't lost every time. And the Patriots had better teams, you know.
The only one I would say is the San Diego playoff loss was inexcusable. But they certainly put up a lot of yards that day.
Let's see. Mike writes in, big fan of the show. People are always quick to reference the Ravens defense as the best in the NFL, and that defense wins championships. If that's the case, why are the Ravens not the defending champs? Why do they not have multiple championships? Why is there only one member of that defense with a ring? What about the 1-6 all-time record against the Patriots?
Well, isn't Joe Flacco a part of that? I mean, isn't that why he's under so much criticism the last couple of years? Because it's like the Jets thing, that the quarterback is holding them back. The rest of the team may be good enough, and, you know, they've gone out to get all these weapons. Maybe they realize, well, the weapon we lack is the quarterback.
That's first and foremost, but three of those six losses didn't have anything to do with this team. You know, they lost in 1996 as one of those losses. Well, that doesn't really have anything to do with this.
Not really sure they're the best defense in football. They're
no.
a good defense.
And they're
always in the mix in the top five
or whatever. I would say that in general, the people that think
that's
that,
their identity.
And you know that I don't think that whole defense wins championship things, Fred. I've argued against that.
No.
But I would argue on Andy's side saying, well, there's another good defense that wins the championship every year. It doesn't have to be the Ravens defense. There's, you know, Pittsburgh has won twice in the last 5 years.
And
they have as good a defense as Baltimore.
Wouldn't the flip side question be, if this is an offensive era and offense wins championships, how come Brady isn't winning every year? How come he didn't win last year when he was number one ranked in the Wilson-Hart Power Index?
And the answer would be the same. The Packers had a good offense. The Saints had a good offense.
Last year, the Packers had a good defense, too. Now, this year, they didn't.
And the best team doesn't always win. Is also part of it. It's getting hot, the right matchups in the postseason.
Sure. Yeah, you know, the Patriots should have won in 07.
This Patriots team could win the Super Bowl, and I'll say they weren't necessarily the best team that year. It just worked out. You know, they played Denver. Had they played Pittsburgh and Baltimore back-to-back, maybe they wouldn't have won.
Or had the injuries not happened to the other teams like Pittsburgh and Houston, maybe they wouldn't have won.
Well, I still stay with, if Houston had Matt Schaub and Mario Williams, I think they would have won the Super Bowl. I think they were the best team in football.
Well, they might have definitely beat Baltimore, that's for sure.
They might have definitely.
Barry Insiong writes in from the Orange County Patriots. Hey, Barry. I mean, calls
in. How you doing?
Good. You can write and talk at the same time.
Yeah, apparently. So anyway, I know since you guys got a lot of California listeners out there, I wanted to make an announcement on behalf of the Orange County Patriots fans today, which is that for Sunday's game, we're going to have a very special guest joining us, that being the 2010 Patriots Hall of Fame inductee, Sam Bam Cunningham.
How did you swing that, Barry?
I've just networking. I've been able to get to know him over the past few years, and he joined us last year, and he had a good time with us, so he wants to come and do it again. And
cool.
We're going to use this opportunity to raise some money for a couple of charities, one being a local one, called the Fragile Hearts Foundation, which is run locally by Joe Sweet, who played for the Chargers way back. And also,
Sweet.
We're going to support our own home team, the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation. So what we're going to do is collect donations and have people get autographs and pictures with Sam during the breaks of the game. And I want to personally thank you, Fred, for helping get that special delivery over to us, which is going to really complete the day. So
good.
I wanted to... thank you very much for that.
Excellent. So where are you guys meeting?
So the Orange County Patriots fans meet for every game at the Old Dubliner in Tustin, California, pretty much smack dab in the middle of Orange County. So, yeah, if anybody knows how to get with range of the 714 and 949 area codes, you should come on down and join us. And if not, I want to give a quick shout out to some of the other California clubs that are that do similar meetings, they've got a couple in the Bay Area. One is the East Bay group that meets in Danville that Mike O'Brien runs. There's a Bay Area Red Sox group that meets for Patriots games, but they change locations from game to game, and that's run by Joyce and Diane. In L.A., there's a group that meets in Pasadena. I'm encouraging those fans that, you know, you don't want to watch a game this big at home by yourself. I encourage you to look up the fan club registry on Patriots.com. Find that club that's near you and you know, cheer on with a whole bunch of other Patriots fans like we're doing every game in Tustin.
I think you hit the nail on the head, Barry. You really don't want to watch a game like this by yourself in your living room.
Paul would.
Well, yeah, Paul would.
But I mean, give up my two kids for that opportunity.
People that actually enjoy football and other people. I think, you know,
football's not the problem,
this is the
friend.
Type of game like, where you want to be with other people and, you know,
energy.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Feed off each other.
And you know, with DVRs and NFL replay, you know, I'm as diehard as anybody, and I want to go back and see, okay, who was in on that that particular situation, who made the play, what was the call, you know, all that stuff, which I understand can be distracting when you're, you know, in a bar full of rowdy fans, but, you know, you can always go back and watch the game a second time later, you know, and you always pick up more on that. So that's what I do. You know,
sure.
I enjoy the camaraderie, feeling like I'm at the game, you know, surrounded by 100 Pats fans, and then I go home and I can, you know, look at it a lot more detail when I'm ready to.
Well, that's awesome. So have a good time with Sam Cunningham. And if you have a moment, maybe you can have him call in quickly to the pregame social.
That's an excellent idea. I hadn't thought of that, but we'll try and get that going. We'll see if he gets in there in time to make that call.
Awesome. Cool. All right, Barry, have a good time on Sunday.
Thanks, Barry.
All right, appreciate it, Fred. Thanks,
all right.
Fred.
Thanks
Barry
for writing in.
With the Orange County Patriots.
That was the best email we've ever had. It was like it was like I could hear him.
Sorry, Fred. Does it hurt more when I laugh?
Larry in Miami's calling in. Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. How you
Hello,
doing?
Larry.
I was just confident to tell you about the episode on Tuesday, I believe.
Yes.
That was epic.
I love that they refer to them as episodes.
I think that's going to go down as one of my favorite episodes because I was waiting for the microphones to be shuffling. I was like, y'all was about to come to blows. I was laughing the whole time.
Well, that wouldn't last long, but yeah.
You're right. We'd get the paddles for you.
It was good, Larry. It was a good one.
Yeah. Yes, they have like a camera there. It's just...
everybody wants that. I don't think they want it. I don't think they really want it.
Yeah, your imagination is better. We're kind of like that girl that looks hot and then she takes her shirt off and she's got a little belly fat or something.
Right.
She's not as hot.
Right.
Okay, but that was like, plus,
I don't want to see
people. More.
I don't want people seeing me eating while I'm on the radio.
Right.
You know.
Why? That's on break. You could just
He eats while you're talking.
Yeah, I'm like I just took a bite.
but I'm just so excited about the game, and I was calling also my confidence level. I believe it's about 75%.
75%. I like that we've got people now putting percentages on.
Yes.
You know?
And they've ranged anywhere from 55 to 99.9.
Right.
Nobody has gone the other way. We have yet to have somebody below
50. We haven't dipped below 50. Our approval rating, the Patriots' approval rating has been above 50. So.
Yeah, because 75%, because all it takes is, like Andy said, just those playmakers start making plays, and we're going to be in trouble,
Right.
Yep.
Same thing for us. If we're making plays, they're going to be in trouble early.
Oh, hell yeah. They could get grunked. They could definitely get grunked. They could just say, oh, my God, we're Hall of Famers on this field. There's another Hall of Famer talent-wise on this field right now because he is unique.
Oh, yeah. All right, Larry.
All right, guys. Yeah, have a good one.
Thanks for calling. Speaking of percentages and making plays, Jeff in Vegas is on the line. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. How are you?
Fantastic. And speaking of Sam Bam Cunningham back in the day, who threw a pretty nice deep ball was Steve Grogan.
Well, that was kind of his shtick, right? I mean,
yeah, he's another one that couldn't throw any other ball.
Run, run deep.
He's another one that had a guy like Stanley Morgan who, might have been one of the better long ball catchers ever.
Yeah, just look at his career yards per catch. I forget the number, but it's impressive.
Right.
Paul, you know?
Oh, yeah. Stanley Steema.
Not off the top of my head, but
impressive.
Yeah,
in today's day
it's like
and age,
18.
It's like a great year or even a great game in today's day and age, and it was like his career yards per catch was up there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sam Bam, great memories back then. Also, I don't know if you guys saw it on Twitter. I guess Brady was nursing his left shoulder injury yesterday. It's been released.
How the heck? What?
What do you mean?
It's all over Twitter that Tom, I guess, commented that the reason he missed practice was he was just taking care of his shoulder. Not a huge deal. If he throws anything like he did on last Sunday, maybe it's...
talk about things by design, because he would never say that. There's a reason why he's saying that.
Well, plus he was on the injury report, his left shoulder. That's what the report, that's what the reason that he missed practice was.
Yeah, but he would never get even that specific, usually, that I was nursing my shoulder. He would never say that. There's a reason.
Yeah, just... getting treatment, and I guess there's a certain amount of Wednesday practices that he has missed a few other Wednesdays
yes,
this year.
That is true. That was a regular thing, but it wasn't always the AFC title game.
Yeah, usually during bye weeks. Four, I think he's missed six practices this year, and four of them were during bye weeks.
Yeah, I think it's a little different beast when you're preparing for Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and the Ravens on AFC title weekend.
I should credit Jeff Howe with that from Nesson.com. He said it's only the second practice he's missed during a regular week.
Did they lose the other one?
He didn't say.
Dig a little deeper.
He just looks so great throwing it. I mean, he made some most, like Phil Simms kept saying, not that, Phil Simms was, I think Phil Simms had regressed, by the way, so is Nance. They really add less and less, seemingly. But, some of those throws on Sundays were some of the best he's ever made, in my opinion. Also, the number has dropped from 7.5 down to 7
in some
areas, so you're getting a little Baltimore money coming in.
Okay.
Also, the total 50.5, which is still sounds a little bit high to me. I've been getting crushed. New England's been going over seemingly every week, but 50.5 seems like a little high, does it not?
28-24 would be 52. No, it's perfect. That's a good line. That's a good number.
It'll be interesting if the weather continues to be bad and the forecast, if that might come down a little.
That could be interesting.
Yeah, and a lot of, there's obviously a huge buzz in Vegas. A lot of just from what I was hearing last night, a lot of the general public Joe Blow fan thought that Baltimore really didn't look that good. Granted, Houston, like Fred says, a little better than most people think. but hopefully the Ravens will just might be a little bit off. And, you know, I disagree with Patriot Nation, this overconfidence. I hate that, but I just think they might be a team of destiny. I'm loving doing it for Myra Kraft, and let's just, you know, get to, let's advance. Let's just get the win one way or another on Sunday.
I sure. agree, Jeff. Thanks for the call.
Heard that.
Hey, real quick. Yep. Sam Farmer, one of the more national,
LA.
One of the more, well-respected national guys from the LA Times. I don't know where Teddy said this, but Teddy Bruschi concedes, quote, "We'd manufacture the notion of we're disrespected in New England to maintain that chip on the shoulder."
Well, we all know that.
Well, Andy and I did. You used to argue with us and say, they are getting disrespected.
Well, sometimes they do, but it wasn't as, it was just, they would pick out two or three people saying it and then paint that broad brush that everybody's saying it.
I think he just said they manufactured it.
Well, some guys did disrespect the Patriots. Absolutely. There's no doubt about that.
Even when you, you know, and he says, we all knew that.
You can't
he's
deny
even,
that.
He's even fighting me now.
You can't deny that.
Well,
even last week, you don't think LaDainian Tom, I mean, Marshall Faulk disrespected the Patriots?
No.
Of course
I don't. Picking against them is not disrespecting them.
Of course.
And when you have a known biased guy, I don't know
an
how
idiot.
That tells
if,
you
if
anything.
If you were a paid
an
analyst
absolute
and
idiot.
You picked the Broncos last week, you should be fired.
That's like I was talking to a certain member of this organization, and somehow I brought up Alex Smith, and he starts, I just don't know about the Niners. And I can't have a real conversation about Alex Smith with you. You're that biased. You're that jaded on that subject.
Right. That's why people who
so taking
the,
Marshall Faulk right. seriously on any level is stupid.
But that's
but
part
again,
of the manufacturing.
But that's not
that you're doing.
That's
not
disrespect.
Teddy.
Disrespect is the Patriots aren't very good. They you know they haven't
well, I
beaten
think it
anybody.
Was a little disrespectful
that's disrespectful
to beat to pick the Broncos last.
No, I'm
week.
Saying
you considered them a bye.
Right.
No,
but
right. He took the bye over the Patriots.
But don't tell me that you know that was a. You know, an opinion that was shared by anybody else.
No, he just
it was only shared
Michael
by a guy.
Irvin picked him too.
It was only shared by people who had an obvious axe to grind.
Right.
That's it.
Well, that's
he's going to Marshall Faulk is going to pick against them
always,
every single
when,
game that
when,
they've
when
ever played.
When Rodney Harrison was talking about it was always guys like
no.
Schlereth or guys that had an axe to grind. You know,
but what I'm telling
Merrill
you,
Hodge.
What I'm telling you is in 04 when nobody picked against the Patriots, literally they were. Favorites on the road for an AFC championship game against a 15-1 team. I'm telling you, they made it up.
They did.
And now Teddy Bruschi is backing up that claim. We manufactured it.
Quick side note on Irvin and Faulk. When they're talking.
Teddy should be quiet.
I always feel like the geeky kid.
This thing is a whopping 16 inches.
Who's like hanging out with the. I never know what they're saying. Like they start joking around and
Who?
Saying stuff. I never know like. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's like they're in the locker room still joking with just like the small group of people. I never have any idea what they're talking about.
What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
It's because you people don't
Does
listen.
This have anything
when someone else is talking,
I heard
you
the
have
whole thing except
up.
For who you're talking about
well, yeah,
that you don't know what they're
I'm
saying.
I'm keeping it to myself.
Okay,
now.
That's
Hold
fine.
On.
What
I
else?
Just
what do you got for an email?
I didn't hear.
Hold
we
on.
Were talking about
I'm
another
pull a
thing.
Paul and
you,
sulk.
You
nope.
brought up
you
another
You guys don't care what I have to say. I'm not going to talk.
I'm not sulking. I've moved on.
I'm not sulking now.
I've moved on. What's the next email?
I just want to know what you're talking about. That's all. Don't get offended.
No, my panties are bunched.
I feel like I'm talking to a mental patient. I have to be on eggshells.
That's disrespectful to
you know?
Mental patients.
Whoa, you calling
like,
Tom
no,
Brady
no,
a mental patient?
It's all right, Andy. It's but okay. We just want to know what you were talking about. It's okay.
You sound like Ordway.
Speaking
my,
for
my God.
Ooh, Jimmy Starks.
We need a straitjacket. And when someone acts You're up, they have to wear the straitjacket for the rest
well,
of the show.
Well, what about for Eric? What kind of jacket will you get him?
The one he had
camel hair
the other day is fine.
And it was gay.
Well...
My wife would wear that.
Elizabeth like, Taylor would wear it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was
yeah.
that a men's jacket?
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
It's a long.
It's absolutely
it's a
men's jacket. I didn't have a problem with it at all.
It's a long coat, as they say.
Right.
It's camel hair.
Furry, yeah.
Camel hair,
long like a woman.
Yeah, I had no problem with that coat. To be honest, it's not something I would wear every day to the stadium. I don't.
No.
You know.
I wouldn't wear it.
If
at
you
all.
Had to go to like a.
I think he would,
you know,
that with like boots
formal,
with 3-inch heels, he would have looked really good.
Well,
spike heels.
Yeah, I don't think it was. I don't think there was anything feminine about it. Let's put it that way.
What is
to
what
me,
is,
it's formal, too the, formal for the
these
stadium.
Female reporters in the locker room with the 3-inch heels. First of all, they're going to kill themselves, you know, because they're going to twist an ankle in the scrums around the. But what are they doing?
That's not how you phrased it to me the other day.
Well, I don't understand. You know,
I don't understand why it bothers you.
They're using. Whatever they have as an asset to do what they need to do.
They're using their asset to
no,
do whatever
but
they
But in all honesty, everybody does it on some level. You know, no, not,
I don't.
Yeah,
no, but you fall on whatever you have as a way to
fat, bald, and old is not much of a selling
point. No, but we know that some of the reporters that are fatter or bigger or look like linemen have good relationships with the linemen. It's almost like there's like a kindred spirit here.
Right,
I never noticed
kindred.
That.
Kindred.
And then there's other guys. You know, there's black reporters that seem to get along better with the black players. There's white reporters that it seems like there's certain things
all
you
right.
go to.
So then the question is, if you're a
if
guy,
you have breasts, you show
if
them.
If you were a male reporter, and I know they don't allow men in female locker rooms, but if they allowed men into like women's tennis locker, how would the men dress?
I wouldn't go in.
Do you honestly think that women are dressed inappropriately in the locker room?
I think some of them are. They're not dressed to work.
I don't. I think that most of the ones that are dressed up are on TV, and that's how you dress on TV. I don't look at it inappropriately at all.
Some of them are. I don't think as many as you think are, but some of them are.
I can think of one that I might say is doing exactly what TV is talking about. No.
Well, that's the most blatant example.
But I don't think that the majority of the women in that locker room are
not the majority,
inappropriately.
The minority.
They all, almost all of them wear heels, but I think that's what women wear when they're dressed up.
The girl from our friend from Comcast doesn't. She always has a very nice like suit on or something and sneakers because her feet are never on
air. Exactly.
No, but she's walking around a locker room. She's moving around.
I didn't say that. That's what they wear for work. I said that's what women wear. A lot of women wear heels. That's what they wear.
I don't inappropriate.
Why?
That's right. It's around naked men.
They're shoes. I mean, I don't understand what's inappropriate about high heels.
Have a sexual implication.
Right.
But so they should never wear high heels then anywhere.
No, because some places they're trying to get sex. They're in a bar with high heels on.
So you think every woman? This is interesting.
You don't think high heels are perceived to be like sexy?
They absolutely are. But you're saying you should abolish high heels?
No.
This has nothing to do with a locker room.
You shouldn't be looking for sex in the locker room.
Oh, wait a minute. You didn't say that. You said two different things. You said there's some sort of sexual implication
with high heels.
So now you're looking for sex if you wear high heels?
You're trying to appear sexy.
I disagree with that.
Well,
yes, you're trying to make yourself look attractive. Yes.
Well, I think there's a difference between attractive and sexy. I think there's a line you
sexy.
Cross.
I don't care whatever adjective you want to use. I don't see there's anything wrong with that
but
for
any,
a woman.
But
you don't think if a guy walks in leather pants, it's different than if a guy just dresses
but we
nice?
Never see the female reporter's
eye.
Feet on TV.
No.
Why bother?
I'm not talking about being on TV. I'm talking about high heels in general.
No,
You guys both seem to have a problem with high heels.
No, I have no
they
problem.
They never be worn.
I have no problem with high heels in general.
So why would, if any woman wore high heels at anything, she's obviously looking for sex, according to
you. No, she's trying to appear sexy.
Of course. So what's wrong with that?
In the locker room, I agree with Fred. It's inappropriate.
Why?
Trying to appear sexy in a locker room.
Why? Explain to me why it's inappropriate.
Because I think it is. It's a professional working
environment.
I think
it's the same thing as grooming yourself. You're trying to make yourself look as good as you can. I have no problem with it.
You try to look sexy?
No. Listen, obviously, that's not what... I am not trying to make myself look any better than I am. But I also don't roll out of bed and... You know, come in with sweats and a ripped T-shirt.
But not many people
I care about
my
appearance.
Equally bad.
Right. There's like three people that do
but
that.
But I do care about my appearance.
Right.
I just don't have a lot to work with.
And most people do.
I don't have any problem with women dressing up
I
for
just,
work.
I don't have as big a problem as he does, but I think there's certain ones you look and they go,
there's
they
one person,
chose to put that
there's
on.
There's one person in the locker room who I think is thinking like
that. I saw one person. The heels had to be 3 inches spikes. On a step stool with a camera on her shoulder.
Really
she's going to kill herself. She's going
to
kill herself.
Yeah.
And there was no need for that.
That would be the one I was thinking
but
about.
But that's the it goes beyond even being practical.
Right.
You know, if you're in an office and you want to wear heels, you're not doing that. You're
right.
Just walking around. But now it's even in the face of practicality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I just think you look at most of them and they dress very professionally, very attractively.
Yes.
But you don't go... that seems like a little much.
Right.
You know it when you see it.
Right.
Just, you see it and you go, huh.
Exactly.
And I think there's one that I go, huh.
I think there's more than one. I think they rotate through. They're never, the ones that are always here dress appropriately.
Yes.
It's ones that rotate through at various times that are sometimes inappropriate.
So we'll be back with the second hour of Caveman Talk.
This is like the Taliban.
I feel like I just went back 50 years in time.
Today with the Taliban, you know?
Is it not like widely known that heels are sexy? Like that.
Of course they are.
They
tone up the
like,
calves.
Women wear them to be sexy.
I don't like
them because they're sexy.
I don't disagree with your characterization. I disagree with your prohibition of them. I mean, they're not somehow that's like.
I only said one place where I thought they were inappropriate was the locker room where there's naked
Well, I don't understand why they there are places that women shouldn't try to appear as sexy.
I'm all for heels in a thong, just not in the men's locker room.
Exactly.
All right, so, you know, exactly. Heels in a thong are the same. You're playing Andy's side of the fence.
I'm only kidding.
Oh, they have thongs in there. I've seen thongs in there.
How do you know that?
Oh, you can tell.
Oh, yeah?
If you can't see an underwear line, there's a good chance she's got none on or a thong on.
Okay.
Now, was that appropriate?
No.
Okay.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Why do they not want me to see their underwear line? I mean, there's certain things. Right. They know I'm looking.
Who said they didn't want you to see it?
That's why they do it. I'm basing this on what women I know tell me.
Scott says, long-time listener, finally my class schedule has allowed me to write in. Love the show. It's hilarious. I have one question. I'm not sure if Sterling Moore is a cornerback or a safety.
Nor is Bill Belichick.
Everything I read just says he's a D-back. If he is a corner, then why the hell is Molden playing more than Sterling Moore? I know that they're both firmly in the Jag category. I only questioned this decision because while Moore was terrible, he is a rookie and showed flashes in the Buffalo game. I take the possibility of a few good plays over Molden, who won't have good plays guaranteed.
Well, I think Molden's ahead of Moore.
That's what he's asking. Why does Molden play ahead of Moore?
Well, because Bill thinks he's better. I don't really feel strongly about either. I haven't seen anything to...
I don't either.
I mean, aside from the debacle at the end of the Colts game, neither of the two guys really jumps into my mind. But I think it's clear Bill has Molden ahead of Moore. For whatever reason. He likes him better. He practices better. He's seen more play. Whatever.
Eric, how many of those long coats do you have? That's another one.
Two.
You have a lot of overcoats.
One yesterday and one today. That's a grand total of two.
He's got an edge. Five words out, and he's got an edge.
Well, I kind of attacked him as soon as he walked in.
In Eric's defense, he comes in and immediately is...
But in Fred's defense, he should be used to it. Fred does the exact same thing three shows a week.
I have that jacket. Very similar.
In
it's black. Is that blue
or black?
We're
giving the people what they want.
Right. Is that blue or black?
It's dark blue.
Okay, yeah, mine's black.
That was a big prep school jacket, right? Everybody in prep school wore that. You know they did. Don't lie to me.
Okay.
Your first one got ruined with all the blood from when you beat that kid up. You had it on.
Oh, that would be great.
I wasn't wearing that when I beat the kid up. No.
Oh, see, that would be great if you were wearing that.
Right. More sporty, more manly.
I was going to say something inappropriate, but I'll...
No, go ahead.
I'll save it for off the air.
No, go ahead.
Why?
Go ahead, say it.
Because it's insensitive, and I don't like that. I don't like intentionally be. I mean,
since when?
Listen, I'm insensitive enough. I don't need to be intentionally insensitive.
Mike at Fort Stewart, Georgia, writes in, who do you think has the advantage between the Ravens' O-line and our D-line? I'm a glass-half-full kind of guy, so I'd like to think that the defense that showed up against one of the league's top two running games is who we are. And on the flip side, the Ravens' D could not get to Yates all last week. Do you think that our line can give Tom Terrific the time needed to hit one of his many targets?
Yes. They've been consistent all year in doing that. So
that's what I'm going with.
I don't see why not.
If I'm going to hold the defense to their consistency of stinking, then I got to hold the offensive line to its consistency of most often it does the job against regardless of what the front is. Mm-hmm. So I'll be consistent in my consistencies. Are we going to get an update from Eric?
Eric's here.
Yes. And as promised by the man himself, Tom Brady returned to practice today. And completing the full spectrum of players in attendance.
And how did he look during stretching?
Was he nursing his left shoulder?
No, he was not. They actually did the ball strip drill, and he and Hoyer were the ones. Hoyer had the ball, and Brady was trying to strip it, and he was alternating between hands.
He did the tomahawk chop with his left arm.
Trying to do the tomahawk
chop. That's good.
Chop
full range of motion.
Yeah.
He didn't yell, my arm.
Bump from underneath, overhead.
Nice.
So I think they made it.
See,
maybe
Eric was paying
attention
to that.
Little bit of an effort to.
Okay,
I'm just glad he made it out there because his coach wasn't sure. He hoped he could get out there.
And yeah, even, I think when they passed each other going to the press conference, there might have been some subtle body language there. And
right,
But yeah, that's it. No.
Okay, good. Anybody have shorts on?
No.
You sure? Were you looking below the waist?
Yes. For you now, I do. I do check for you to make sure.
Yeah, you look below the waist.
Was anyone wearing a thong?
No. I didn't check inside their pants, Fred.
What do you think about women who wear 3-inch high heels in the men's locker room?
Why do I feel like this is a setup?
No, it's not. It's just a total debate. Paul thinks we're cavemen because we think that's a little inappropriate. I think there's a connotation of sexuality.
3-inch high heels? Well, if they're wearing a dress, like they would be wearing for work to be on the air or something, I don't see what the problem is.
Okay.
If you're just wearing high heels with like jeans or something... That might be a little weird, but I don't.
What if that's what the woman wears? I mean, what like that? Whatever
her style.
Whatever her style is her style.
Then that's her style.
That's why I think it's 1958.
I mean, if that's her style,
I feel like we've traveled back 50 years in time.
There are plenty are plenty of men in there who dress like slobs.
Well, we talked about that.
It's actually what we said. We balanced it out. They're both on
Very
end.
Much so.
Right.
Most people are in the middle. They just dress.
And I'm not even talking about like the
me.
No, not you.
You're not a slob in there. You're a slob when you're around us on the TV show.
Right.
You might want to button up a little bit today, though. But, you know,
it's too tight. My neck is fat.
Am I threatening you? Does my manhood threaten you, Eric?
No, it doesn't.
It's a sign of virility.
No, but I'm not even talking about like the young kid just out of school who's got his first job and he's got the, you know, the shirt untucked. And
right.
I'm talking about like middle-aged men wearing, wearing sneakers.
There was
and
a national guy
and,
there today that when he walked in, I thought he was one of the equipment guys.
And
he was a national guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that was ridiculous.
It's a little unprofessional to dress like a slob.
Yeah. Oh. Wow.
I mean, I
don't. His dress is the least of his problems.
Yeah. So anyway. So that's it, Eric?
Really, honestly, there's nothing really to
Kyle
report.
Love.
I think that's good.
Kyle Love.
100%. Everybody 100%. Was in.
Everybody
Kyle
was
Love,
there.
You notice any brace on his ankle, any issue there, any limping, any bag drill? You didn't pay attention to Kyle Love, did you?
No.
I'm not going to put you on the spot.
No.
I wouldn't either. I'm not going to lie. Just thought you might have seen him. Maybe he's close, whatever.
No, because those guys are always at the very far end.
How about Sebastian Vollmer? Does
he
look any looser, any better than he did last week?
A little bit.
A little less
A little bit, because the way they line up in the lower field, the O-line is the first group we see, and the defense is at the very far end. So we do get a good look at the O-line. And yeah, he seems to be moving around a little bit better.
Okay, so he might be an option if this concussion issue with Nate Solder were an actual issue.
Yeah, and Solder is out there too, though,
right.
Doing everything. So, well, maybe not everything because he was limited yesterday. But,
that was Andy Hart right there. He's doing everything. Well, not everything because he was limited, but you know what I mean.
Dan and Harriet writes in, not calls in, writes in.
Dan and Harriet?
Unfortunately, my new
Sounded
schedule
like
has
in
me
in Harriet, and that is inappropriate.
Unfortunately, my new schedule has me in class
Especially
during the live
heels.
Stream, so there may not be many Dan and Harriet conference calls
heels
or cleverly worded drafting analogies for a while. I thought I'd give you my predictions for the game and then a quick either-or game. I think they'll play McCourty at safety will continue as a way to best contain Ray Rice, who they will probably shadow with Gerard Mayo or a corner. I also wouldn't be surprised if Ed Reed works the middle as a single high safety, but if the pass can play smart and get the backs involved in the passing game, there should be plays to be made and a trip to Indy. Now for the game, I'm asking which you think is more likely, assuming the Patriots advance to the Super Bowl, these options can apply to both games. Woodhead has 30-yard score or Ridley doesn't get a snap the rest of the way.
What's more likely?
Yeah, what's more likely? Woodhead has a 30-yard score or Ridley doesn't get a snap the rest
Woodhead.
Of the way.
Woodhead has a 30-yard score.
You think that's more likely?
Yes.
Than Ridley not playing a single
yeah,
play?
Yes, yeah, I agree. you think that's more?
I agree.
Gerard Mayo has a pick six or McCourty has 5 deflections.
Gerard Mayo has
Mayo
a pick,
pick
six.
I agree.
Yeah.
Ocho Cinco has 4-6 receptions or Nate Solder gets targeted in the end zone.
Nate Solder
gets targeted in the end zone.
It just tells you where the mighty has fallen. Finally, if we lose, we are regretting the loss of Pierce. Are we regretting the loss of Price and James Sanders?
No. Price?
Yeah.
No.
Taylor Price.
No.
No. I don't think so.
My two favorite players.
It won't be because of Taylor Price.
No, it could be
Jimmy. It absolutely won't be because of Taylor Price. There's a
possibility with Jimmy, but
that you're looking at, you know, Flacco throws for 350, and you're saying that wouldn't have happened if they had another safety.
Jimmy wants to come back, you know.
Yeah. Jimmy likes Elaine.
Jimmy won't be brought back. There was never a reason to get rid of him, so why would they bring him back?
I didn't say they would bring him back. I said Jimmy wants to come back.
Of course he would want to come back. He loves me.
I think that's the other way around, Andy.
Sea Dog writes in, hey, gentlemen of PFW
Portland?
And Andy.
Sea Dog!
Since you guys are our eyes and ears of the Patriots locker room, can you tell us how the team appears in the locker room compared to last week? Does the team seem as focused and determined? Do they seem loose? Is there a different atmosphere than last week? I'm worried about the Patriots coming out nervous, shaky. I'm afraid if they don't start out hot and confident, the game could get away from them. As a rule, I can't predict the score, so I don't jinx the team, but I'm so ready to drive the 3 hours to Indy so I can be around the Super Bowl and the Patriots in a couple weeks.
I would say the mood is a little different than last week, but in a better way. I think last week they were maybe a little more serious about the focus, about telling people, oh, we have to treat it like any other game, and they looked a little bit tense. I think after the game, the way it played out, I think they look a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more confident this week. But still,
I would go the exact opposite. I thought they were giddy last week from the head coach down through virtually every player. This week, I don't think they're tense this week, but I don't think they're as openly giddy or exuberant.
Well, Bill was openly giddy on Friday.
I thought he was
the
openly giddy
were
on, week.
On Friday last week.
I thought last week was a laugh fest the whole week.
Yeah.
And I can't really comment this week because I wasn't in the locker room with these guys yesterday. But today, I thought it was a little bit more buttoned down, serious. Not tight, I agree.
No.
I didn't sense a tightness, but definitely more serious than last week. Last week, I know you get in a lot of trouble playing games like that, but last week, if you had looked at anything that happened during the course of that week and thought for a second they were going to have a hard time with that team, it wouldn't have made any sense. They seemed like they knew everything that ended up happening.
But here's my point. I think I agree with Paul. I think they realize how
bad
much different this team is. Well, no, how much different this opponent is than last week's.
That's what I mean.
I think last week they felt
how bad
like us.
They were.
No. The team sucked. We already played them. We even see what they're good at. We're going to stop the very few things they're good at, and we're going to kick their
ass.
Right. But I think the difference is in years past, they have treated these games with so much seriousness that they have forgotten to have fun and enjoy themselves. I think they've struck the balance between being serious, being focused, and having fun and enjoying the moment, which they haven't had before. Remember, in the Super Bowl, they weren't enjoying that week.
I mean, the question is, because we've heard, you know, when you're in a season, guys say, oh, I love this team, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, is it just, you know, speak, or does Troy Brown really see something different with this team? Does Vince Wilfork see something different with this team?
I think so.
Just speak.
You think it's just speak?
Yeah. No, I think Vince Wilfork maybe,
but not Troy Brown.
No, but I remember that year that we practiced in Atlanta and coming off the practice field, and you know I was doing interview duties then, and
with Brian Finneran,
and Wilfork was talking about I really have faith in this defense from what I see and so you get excited. Oh, you know,
that's why I think it's speak.
Right.
He also said they were dangerous
in 2008.
Yeah, until they got knocked out of the playoffs, and he said we had nothing left.
We were banged up.
Well, there was also that year. And maybe it was a little bit the year before, too. But there was a lot of talk about leadership and the lack of it on this team. And I think that's
changed. Where's my spray, Kevin?
I think that's changed. And I don't think that's lip service.
Oh, no. I think this is a better unified team.
This is a closer team now. But I also,
last year?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
No, I think that's more than 2009. I don't see any discernible difference from last year.
I think when this season, you know, the story of the season's written, especially if they go all the way, they'll talk about the releases, early releases of some of these defensive backs as contributing to the cohesiveness.
But that's what we all do. As long as they go all the way.
Because you got to come
well,
up with
you got to explain it somehow.
You got to come up with a story angle.
Yeah, you have to explain it somehow.
It's not really a story unless it's a story either way. If it's a story either way, then it's a real story. Otherwise, it's not really a story.
Chris with a TIN writes in.
That made sense. Don't give me that look.
I have WeatherBug and it's great. We're talking about weather apps. What's your favorite weather app?
Weather Channel.
Have you tried WeatherBug?
Never heard of it.
Okay. Guys.
He's pompous with weather apps.
Right.
Never heard of it.
So is Fred.
Well, that's true. They both are. These techno.
It's really unbelievable.
Pompous as.
Christian says, I'm bumping up my win percentage from yesterday after watching Flimsy Flacco's presser.
Yeah.
To sum it up. That's not what I'm looking
was
for in my QB.
He doesn't
leave a good impression. So from 85%, I'm now up to 99.9%. So cue Andy's laugh, Paul's snark, and Fred's jubilation.
No snark here.
That was worth 14.9%? Just him acting like a punani?
I guess so. Yeah.
Wow.
The quote that he said, we're not that good at offense, made me laugh.
He's just a clown. He's soft like putty.
I just think that is completely meaningless to the game if they go out and put together a nice drive to open the game.
Do you think Ed Reed's comments about him were intended to try to light
a
fire?
Well, that's what we were talking about. Maybe they were on purpose.
Yeah, because I saw Ed Reed. They did a clip today on SportsCenter of a Berman one-on-one sit down with him that's going to air this weekend, and Reed said to him, "There's a method to my madness," and he was talking directly about the comments about Flacco. So
he just admits it.
He kind of admitted it, yeah. And he said, Joe texted me. I left him a message. He texted me back, said we're cool. He understands what's going on. So, you know, whether or not that actually works.
Well, as Fred would say, if the Ravens go on to win the Super Bowl, we'll tell you a story about the maturation and development of Joe Flacco and how it was influenced by Ed Reed's scathing comments.
And that's what I mean. Like,
if he loses, then yeah. Flacco's a bum.
When you win, something like that will get overblown.
Right. By the way, how funny was it when whoever the clown was that asked about Ed Reed today, and even Bill got sick of it. He's like, haven't we had enough of Ed Reed?
I looked at Andy and I said, was the guy joking?
No, I think he was serious.
I think he was,
who
too.
Who was it?
I don't know.
I assumed a Baltimore guy or something, because I've never seen him, so I don't think
but
he's
a Baltimore
national.
Guy who wasn't here yesterday?
I got a late flight. Could you just say that again?
just get the transcript from
but
2 years
well,
ago.
Well, he also looked like a reporter. I would understand if he had
a news
suit
guy?
On. If he was a new. See, our camera was late yesterday. Can you just say it again?
Yeah, he looked like a news reporter. You're right.
So I don't know, like, if he was looking to just get it on tape that they missed.
Well, that's the thing. The news people shouldn't be covering the sports angle of the story.
I'm all with you, bro.
No. I don't mean a win? News reporter. I mean a newspaper guy. He didn't look like a TV guy. He looked like a paper guy.
Oh.
I don't mean that he was covering it for news.
Well, if the Patriots win, wait for the next week, you know, how the donut shop in Malden is getting ready for the Super Bowl story, you know?
Mm. Well, you like that. That jacks you up.
Well, I got to give you something while you're at home.
What's that now? What?
I got to give you something to do while you're at home and not at the Super Bowl.
Oh! Are you serious?
No.
No, that one year when you were
our home base reporter.
It's typical. The donut shops
don't
on the South
that.
Coast get ignored, Paul.
Actually, Fred, let's talk
no
about that.
Who cares about the donut shops in New Bedford?
Let's talk about that because I don't want prima donna Paul over here to get the press box seat if we go to the Super Bowl
after
he doesn't travel all
year. You know what?
Listen.
Now he's getting
it. You know
it.
What?
You know what? Because you brought it up.
You're so pompous and arrogant. This is already, but this was discussed about 3 weeks ago. Andy and I talked about it. And you know what?
You're just
pompous to ruin it. We already went to Fred and said, if it comes down to what it has been in the past, and it's just you and I in the press box, I think Eric should get the seat in the press box.
He did do that.
And Andy is the one who brought it up to me. To
but now
Andy
I don't want it to happen.
But
you succeeded in
pissing both of us off for even having one sliver of compassion for you.
Oh! Paul just said, I'm number one to Eric.
That's why we can't have cameras in here.
That's why we can't have cameras. That's just poor to me, Eric. That's just very poor to me.
That's good.
We've already discussed it. You will be sitting
today,
in the press box.
Right next to me. What?
You know we have picks today.
Yeah,
right?
we'll make
oh
it through.
God.
Oh, my God. We have to hurry.
We'll make it through those two games in 9 minutes.
All right. So should we do the picks?
We're
going to
skip over the 3
spit
o'clock
on your
game.
Own chin? You
what?
Have like a big spit thing on your
do
chin.
I might have.
You really are insufferable.
I was busting your balls with Joe Flacco of our staff.
We were busting balls.
You know
we do
I
this.
You
we
know
this.
I like
we
to be
balls.
In my own separate area when certain things are happening anyway.
Yes, I do.
Plus, you don't have to dress up. You can be in jeans out there.
Johnny in South Carolina says, "Hey guys, in the caveman."
Oh, well, wait, I forgot. You'd be looking for sex if you dressed up.
Speaking of that,
I'm going to wear heels.
Johnny says, all I can say is wow.
Oh,
I thought
it's
the
a brothel
whole...
now.
Johnny says, all I can say is wow. I thought the whole truth is never mean, so I will speak it like an a-hole was bad. Now the new caveman Andy is even better. All I can picture is Andy looking at a reporter thinking she's wearing lipstick so she wants it.
Don't just blame this on Andy. Fred's right along with him.
Well, I'm good
she
with
wanted it.
It.
She deserved it.
Actually, this is getting a lot of emails now.
Of course it is.
There's
Tyler
either
the Metro says, defenders or the cavemen that are with us.
Tyler says, "How do you
now on Metro?
How do you tell if Andy's looking for sex? He's breathing.
His eyes are open.
Let's see. And so Brian says,
"My eyes don't need to be open. So the woman wants to jump on while I'm sleeping. It's okay with me."
So does Paul, Andy, and company wear clingy spandex that shows off their junk when interviewing the Patriots cheerleaders?
I might.
We don't interview them, though. That's true.
And
play along.
Scott wants to know what kind of heels does Eric wear.
You
do wear heels.
Those cowboy boots have a heel to them.
I wore his mother's when I left her house the other day.
Oh, that's a good one, Eric. That's your best comeback ever. Better than you're a bitch, Lorraine, or whatever.
Screw your bitch.
Not surprisingly, when you stoop down to the seventh grade level, right. Andy is on board with you.
Well, the shot wasn't a seventh grade level.
Of course it was. Yeah.
You got to fight fire. Bill Belichick says, "Do business as business is being done."
He said that,
and now you all,
that was,
all of a sudden
you
listen to him.
No, that's Bill.
That's Bill.
Yeah, he says it all the time.
I don't remember.
It's how he forget it.
Johnny,
I know what you were gonna say.
See, sometimes you make sure you keep the insensitive stuff away.
Johnny from Cali says, "I know this is a little off topic, but is Lindsay Petrucci single?"
Sadly, no.
Eric just rushing to say no.
Well,
how do you know?
I said sadly, because no. He's been trying to hit that for 2 years now.
Easy.
I don't know. She has a boyfriend?
Yes, she
lives.
Does.
Yes, lives
in town?
Yeah. Lives with him, yes. Shady internet guy.
Oh, really?
That's true, yeah. Well, I don't feel like I'm talking. We discussed this on our,
it was on our
solo show,
right,
where she said ew about Eric. She also talked about her boyfriend.
That's funny at all.
All right. She admitted she's thought of marriage, but she has commitment issues.
Let's get to the picks. Let's get to the picks. It is 1:54 Eastern time here.
No John Rook today?
Coming in. Oh. He's running a little late.
Tough times, Freddie.
Yeah.
In PFW land.
I had a tough week.
Last week, nobody did well. Andy, Eric, and I all went 2-2. Fred went 1-3 with the spread. Eric and Fred went 2-2, and Andy and I went 1-3.
Yeah,
so
mediocre,
really, really not good.
That Packers game really threw me off.
Yeah, and everybody, you know, I was wrong about that one. Everybody else was right.
Yeah.
You know, with that, I said that I think that everybody's on the Giants, and when that happens,
you were right. Everybody was right.
So Eric and everybody had the right one. I was way off. I thought the Packers were going to blow
world,
them off.
The world had that game.
And I didn't, which I feel a little bit, you know, in retrospect, I feel a little embarrassed about. Yeah. Sometimes the obvious ones are the ones that you should pick.
It was pretty obvious that the Giants were going to win that game.
Overall.
He's now mocking you.
Well, he's mocking himself, too. He picked
we're making fun of ourselves.
The Packers.
We're making fun of ourselves for not getting the obvious
Everybody
pick.
Had everybody had it. Listen, everybody had it.
Remember Berman?
Who did I take?
So we're all on the Giants. Everybody and their brother.
Sister with 3-inch high heels had it.
Everybody. Including Eric.
Yeah.
So, for the playoffs, I have the best record just picking winners at 5-3. Everybody else is 4-4.
Tight race coming down.
With the spread, Fred has the best record at 5-3. He has the rare better record against the spread than overall, and the rest of us are 3-5.
Ooh,
so, not very good.
Yeah. No one's going to get the Andy Hart this year and go perfect through the postseason.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
When did that happen? I don't know, a few years ago.
2002 when you picked the
Bucks? No, it was more recent than that. Maybe like 06.
So that's where we stand, Freddie.
Okay.
We're going to skip over the 3 o'clock game because I know you don't have the games there in front of
now,
you.
Now, is this a 3 o'clock or
3:07? Just so everyone's clear, there's only 2 games this weekend. Just 2 games because there's only 4 teams left.
Right.
So they can't play more than 2 games.
Correct.
Well, they could if it were a round robin kind of thing.
Or doubleheader.
Right.
Yeah.
Be cool if they still had the loser bowl. Remember what you I didn't know that for a long time. They had the loser bowl, and the Harbaughs could play in that if they lost.
They used to have the conference championship losers play.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
When was this?
When was that?
I don't know.
In the 60s?
I
didn't
know. Idea what you're talking about.
I didn't say that. I didn't know that.
No, I'm talking
about before
him.
The merger? I may have no idea what I'm talking about.
You don't.
I thought Paul told me that about it.
No.
I brought it up one day, and he goes, oh, yeah, they up
That's
until like
World
70.
Cup. World Cup, they do that.
In the Final Four in basketball, they used to have a consolation game. Like I think they stopped that in the early 80s, maybe, 81-ish.
Oh, really?
They stopped playing the consolation game.
I thought they did play the consolation
It's called every game in the NIT.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Proceed.
Wow. Okay. The Giants NFC Championship game is the Giants at San Francisco, a rematch of a very good regular season game. That was also in San Francisco. The Niners won that game by 7, 27-20, and the Niners are favored to do it again by 2.5.
2.5.
Do it again. This is a tough one for me. I know the Giants are doing their little thing. We're going to really roll, get playing hot at the right time.
Hot team.
And they certainly have things that you'd like in terms of a quarterback who can make the plays when he needs to make the plays.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I am fearful in the quarterback matchup of that defensive front and Aaron Smith, but I'm going with Alex Smith, not Aaron.
You would have been fearful of the quarterback matchup last week too, right? Drew Brees versus Alex Smith.
Oh yeah.
Are you still?
But
going,
Alex Smith played the best game of his career, so I'm going to say maybe it's a different Alex Smith, and I'm going with that defense. I like defense. I think that defense is legit. They hit. They make plays. They got guys from all over the field. They got speed. They got power. And I'm going to say they're going to shut down that Giants passing game enough so that Alex Smith can make some plays and they win that football game.
I have to agree with Andy and the Wilson-Hart Power Index. Did you use that, or is that all you there with your analysis?
Plus, Wilson-Hart Power Index, number one ranked team overall, should win.
49ers.
Don't mock me, John Rook. Don't mock me.
I'm going to go with the Niners as well. I just think that we've seen this with the Giants, obviously, in 07, having this late season run and miraculously turning things around and Eli playing out of his mind. I think they're due to lay an egg, though. And I think they'll do it on the road, having to travel cross country. Winning on the road a lot in this league is very tough to do. The Giants have proven they can do it, but I think this week it comes to an end. And
yeah.
It's a close game. Niners win by seven again, like I did in the regular season.
Yeah, this is a tough game to call, and I can definitely see both sides of it. I'm going to go with the better offense, and I'm going to take the Giants. And the reason is I think the Giants play well enough on defense that it's not like it's an all-offense, no-defense team. I think right now they're as healthy as they've been. Statistically, they were a terrible pass defense, but that front four is healthy, and I think that makes the difference. They make life a little bit tougher for Alex Smith this week than the Saints did last week, and I think Eli's on a roll right now. I'm going to take the Giants. I learned the error of my ways. Everybody likes the Giants. I missed it last week. I let Eric get a cheap win off me by not taking the majority pick. I won't let it happen again.
Yeah, I got to go with the 49ers. I'm all in with the 49ers. I just think their defense is for real.
Oh, absolutely. Great defense.
I think they shut down Cruz, and I think he's the big guy for Manning. And once they do that, I think they're going to give the Giants
Cruz control.
There's your headline. I think they're going to give the Giants offense
Paul
trouble.
Doesn't like that. It's supposed to be about you.
And yeah, you know, Frank Gore isn't enough single-handedly. Alex Smith,
your team controlled them. That's about your team.
I think 49ers at home does enough to beat the Giants. I think that 2.5 spread is just about right. I wouldn't make it
field
much
goal?
More than that.
You think it's going to be
a
push?
It's going to be real close. It's going to be real close.
Now, that would be a story.
And because of the 49ers winning, Bill Belichick will have the chance to be the first head coach in history to beat two brothers in the playoffs on back-to-back weeks.
So you're already giving away your pick for the 3 o'clock game.
That's a little
bit.
All right.
As Paul rolls his eyes.
That's a classic matchup, though. I hadn't really thought about that. Giants-Niners. That's a classic NFC playoff matchup.
And it's happened many times before in the NFC title game, right?
That's what I mean by classic.
Sorry. I thought you meant classic just in the, you know, that it's going to be big.
No. I mean like in the 80s
historic,
or whatever, there's Giants-Niners.
They certainly met in the playoffs several times.
Yeah, I don't know
80s.
Which round it came in, but it was a...
I think it might only been one
classic match.
1990, the Matt Barr field goal at the end there in Candlestick.
Yeah, and Belichick jumps, and, Parcells, and Paul's all excited. That's really cool.
What?
That was what was on when Paul earlier goes, I've never seen that before. That's really cool. It's good to look at.
I said, there's something you don't see every day.
And I said, none of our listeners can see
it
right now.
Bill Belichick jumping into Bill Parcells' arms. Oh. Patriots by seven.
Okay.
Down from 7.5.
Fred, I said it earlier. Toughest game I've had to break down all year for the Patriots. I still don't really know which way to go. And
well, what you're doing.
What?
Nothing.
It's strength versus strength, weakness versus weakness. Those all appear to be kind of numbers-wise evenly balanced. But I came up with all my research that the Ravens' offense is more tested, playing all those top 10 defenses, 1 through 9. They played almost every good scoring defense in the NFL throughout the year. Their mettle is tested. I think they'll come in here and put up a fight. But I am going to go with the Patriots to win the close ball game. They're at home. They have Tom Brady. It's usually why I pick them to win games. It feels like a pretty good formula to pick them in this one. I am going to say something in 27-28 to 24-23, somewhere in that range. So I will take the points, Paul. And as I said to you earlier, if they won't do it all offensively. If they do not get a play on defense, a turnover, a score, a change the field position, or a big kick or a big return, they will not win the football game. It's not just going to be the offense. They need a play by one of the other two-thirds of the game.
It's going to be a close game. It's going to be a low-scoring game because Baltimore's defense is as tested as Andy pointed out.
Who's their coordinator?
Knapp? Defensive coordinator is Pagano. Chuck Pagano.
Oh, yeah, Pagano. I like him.
Yep.
Wait, so, who are we talking about? Ravens?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Certainly not who we're talking about.
Isn't that who you asked about?
Yeah, but I think I meant to ask about the Niners. Go ahead.
We've skipped past that game. Anyway, it's going to be a close game.
It's
going to be 17-14 Patriots in the fourth quarter when Joe Flacco is driving the Ravens, and he makes that ill-fated mistake. The defense gets the score. 24-10 is your final score.
Okay.
New England goes on to Super Bowl 46 against the Niners.
You said 17-14.
17-10. I'm sorry. 17-10.
Right. I was 17-10. Yeah, okay.
I took away 4 points for an ugly-ass play. Right.
Sorry.
I am going to take the Patriots as well. We talked about it earlier in the show. To me, it just comes down to the confidence in Brady over Flacco. and that's the difference. I think, like Andy said, it's going to be a tight game. I don't expect it to be the video game up and down the field every possession the way it has been.
Certainly not like last week.
But I do think that they get their points because I think they're relentless. Offensively, they have so many options, and they're relentless. And I think that at some point, Baltimore is going to break in the red zone, and they're going to get some touchdowns. I actually think it's going to be a push, but I'm going to take the Patriots to cover as well. I think it's going to be 31-24. This game is going to be in question, I think, in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to be a good game.
Mm-hmm. See, I think it's going – obviously, I already gave away that I'm picking the Patriots. I think it's going to be one of those games where it's going to be really tense through three quarters. Then something's going to happen, and in the fourth quarter, Patriots are going to just break out, and they're going to win this going away in the fourth quarter. But up until that point –
you're going to be nervous. You're going to be banging.
You're
going
to be on a tightrope,
banging on the desk in the press box.
Yep.
Are we back all in, Paul? And you know, both of you and I said, Brady. You know, it's generally a good formula to pick Brady to win. It's a good reason to pick the Patriots. But for a while it was, your friend of the show, No Sox. In his last 9 postseason starts and 4-5 record and the pass.
But that's all still true.
Well, I know, and it's like we're being swayed a little bit in what we caution people against. Yeah, he threw 6 touchdowns last week. He looked great. He played a crappy team. Maybe he's still the guy that threw lazy interceptions against the Jets and got overwhelmed and was throwing back across the field against the Ravens.
Right, but going into both of those games, I thought Brady would be the difference.
Yeah, but you were wrong twice. That's my point.
Yeah, I could be wrong this time, too. But generally,
I'm changing my
pick. I'm going to err on the side of Brady.
I could change my pick in my mind about 20 times between now and kickoff on Sunday.
Well, it depends on how the radio callers go Sunday morning.
You're an idiot. Mine is actual. It's like every time I red zone. Paul goes, they're going to break in the red zone, and all I can hear is Bill saying, "That's why they're so good. They do everything well in the red zone. They stop the run and they cover.
They are
the
very
the
good
red
in
zone.
The red zone." There's
well,
no
okay, then we got no chance. And then I think, but Brady and they'll score from outside
the
red zone.
The Patriots are very good in the red zone offensively.
Every time I think of something, it gives me a reason to pick that team.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition and this week of PFW in
Should
progress.
Be a good one.
Can't wait.
It's going to be a boring
pre-game social blowout. Starts at
12:45.
12:45 Eastern time on Sunday. And coming up is John Rook. John, what do you got today?
Can't wait.
That's my best bar.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.
It wasn't very good.
It was terrible. Defense can't stop a nosebleed. They stop it now.
Like it.
Thanks, Key.
Thank you.
So what do you got, Baxter?
Russell will be here.
Yoo-hoo.
He's
predictions
a good tweeter.
Will be here.
I've been following
he's
him.
He's a very good tweeter.
I've been following
he's got
him.
About 3,500 followers.
But he's got Baxter. Good little notes, numbers, mm-hmm. even some reminders.
He does
he
does a lot of the between the lines
I like it.
Type of research. He's really good at that
you
stuff.
You want to give that out? What is it? Guru Football?
Bax Football at Guru. Bax Football Guru. B-A-X.
At Bax Football
Guru.
Guru.
That's his Twitter.
You should follow that, Fred. That's a good one.
It's profootballguru.com.
Okay, well, John's coming up, and of course, Pete Shepard will be entertaining you at 4 o'clock with the Pete Shepard Show. I'll see you next Tuesday. We'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.